Hey, welcome to another Seven Land Hand Extra, brought to you by Good Game St. James. This podcast is all about Jules. That's right, the new kids on the block have landed, the Theros block, that is. Journey into Nyx is here to finish another set like a plastic surgeon overstocked with silicon. Will they be all double Ds, or are these releases all triple A's? I don't know what to wish for, especially now as this analogy spirals into its uncomfortable conclusion. Boobs! I love them, Aaron!
Yeah, I also love boobs.
Oh, come on, I love them. Hey, we're boobs out, and it's all for you. Yeah, that's right. All of this plus flavor text, MTG card quiz, listener feedback, and Super Series news.
Super Series news.
Yeah, some of that. So, looking at the new card set is like listening to a new album for the first time. It can have more hidden hits than a stoner's high school party. It can also have a distracting artwork that makes you overestimate its quality. And then it can have also those great steamy dumps that plague the bowels of every release. Striving through constipation with me today, we have a drought of surnames. I've realized we have a drought of surnames. Everyone's got first names except for me. I have a surname.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that, though. So I have with me, as always, Aaron, Master of the Feast, Graham.
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Stacking on the kilos every week.
Yeah. Oh,
bulking up.
Master of that feast.
Yeah.
And also, Tarbo, Battlefield Tarbo Turge. Milton Jonas.
A little bit like
Tarbo Turge. We were wondering what you were going to do with that one.
Or Milton Jonas. J's are on the silent.
Milton Jonas.
Yeah, gentlemen, how are we?
It's lovely.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, good.
Battlefield Tarbo Turge.
Yeah, Battlefield Tarbo Turge.
That'll stick. It rolls right off the tongue. Yeah.
No. Battlefield Tarbo Turge.
Beautiful. Should we just get right into it? We're gonna talk cards. All right, so we're going to go color by color. We're going to give you the top five cards for draft or limited first, starting with white, then blue, then black, then red, then green, then multicolor. Maybe
sneak an artifact in there.
If they were going to do a sound of music too, I think there would be going some lyrics there.
White and blue and black, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Red and green and
can bust out the loot, too. Aaron.
And then, you know, we'll be doing the usual flavor text and magic card quiz, and then we'll close off with standard and constructed implications. We're talking cards. The flies joined us in the pod today.
That's gross.
He might have something to say.
Time to leave.
All right. So the first card we're going to talk about is Dawnbringer Charioteers.
Talking about strong, limited.
Would you like me to read the card?
Yeah,
so
sure.
We know what we're talking about. So Dawnbringer Charioteers, it's 2/2 white. It's a creature, human soldier. It's rare. It's got flying and lifelink and a heroic trigger, which is whenever you cast a spell that targets Dawnbringer Charioteers, put a +1/+1 counter on Dawnbringer Charioteers.
And it's a 2/4.
Continuing
the trend of the really good heroic creatures that it's really just
airborne.
It's a 2/4 flying lifelink. That's already pretty good. We saw one of them in an Avacyn Restored draft at common. That card was insane.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. Right. It was called Seraph of Dawn, and it was just like white was just had this crazy common that was almost unbeatable. Because there was a lack of removal in that set as well. And Dawnbringer Charioteers, lucky Journey into Nyx did actually bring a lot more removal in. But still, a heroic, getting one heroic trigger on this guy is going to seal the game for you a lot of times.
So that's a card you open the pack and that's in there. You're happy. You're playing white.
You slam it. You're playing white heroic.
Slam.
And it only costs 4. Yeah. So cheap.
Yeah.
I know how much you love your white heroic decks, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. They've served me well.
He's going to buddy up with your Wingsteed Rider.
Yeah.
All right, so the second card you want to talk about is Banishing Light. It's 2/white. It's an enchantment at uncommon. When Banishing Light enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent opponent controls until Banishing Light leaves the battlefield. Mm. It's a bit of removal in white.
Yeah, so thank God we finally got some decent cover all bases removal for Constructed, which we'll talk about later as well. Very important. But in draft, in sealed, in limited, it's really important to just have a thing where you can just deal with
whatever weird thing they play, right?
Like, yeah.
They Voltron up their Dawnbringer Charioteers.
I'm going to banish the shit out of that card. Even Planeswalkers, enchantments that are causing you trouble, enchantment artifacts, the God's weapons come to mind. You want to have a good way to deal with them. But also, unlike all the other artifact enchantment removal in the block, enchantment removal is very good in this block, but you don't want to main deck too much of it, so Banishing Light's just
It can slip through the net every now and again.
And you can just get a creature that's bothering you as well.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come straight back. Does the creature come back into the battlefield?
Yeah, it does, which is a problem. It's a bit of a liability if you think they've got some enchantment removal. Mm.
Which a lot of people are playing because there's a bunch of really good enchantment creatures, mm-hmm. the bestow creatures, yeah, exactly. and things like that. So, like, obviously it's a big liability.
But... Yeah, exactly. So if they destroy it, say you attack with your 3/3... And then they're Banishing Light. They destroy your Banishing Light. They get their 4/4 creature back. It does cause awkward board states, but the fact that it's just unconditional removal for in white at 3 mana as well, it's just like you can't go past that.
A lot of the other removals about in a remove enchanted creature or in. Or
it's hating on enchanted creatures.
Yeah,
or
so an enchantment creature could again slip through, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so the number 3 white card we want to talk about was Dictate of Heliod, which is 3/2 white. It's also rare. You can flash this one in. It's an enchantment. It's got flash, and creatures you control get +2/+2. Whoa, flash.
Yeah. I played against this actually the other day. It was very scary. Yeah. I just couldn't block his creatures after he played it.
I beat this card the other day. My opponent played against me. I beat it with a Crow and Horse. So I just gave him the Crow and Horse, which was a 2/6. I couldn't really attack past it, but I got a 1/1 to throw in front of his dudes every 10 times. Killed him with a flyer. But this card, I can't imagine anything that you would want to play at 5 after going 2-drop creature, 3-drop creature, 4-drop creature, and then you attack and they're like, I've got some pretty good blocks. This seems not great. Maybe it's got a trick or something. Instead, you get a permanent +2/+2 bonus to any creature that you play from then on. It's just game-warpingly powerful.
Super strong combat trick, right? Like,
yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's a, plus the flash. It would be good without the flash. And the fact it can be a 5-mana combat trick is ridiculous.
It's being super greedy. It doesn't target anything. It's just creatures in general. Fine. So there's no triggers there, but still, I mean, you know, most of the heroic triggers are going to give you +1/+1 or something like that. So getting +2/+2 and everything's like an inbuilt heroic trigger anyway for everyone.
A reasonable start of a 2/2, a 2/3 into a 3/3, and then this, then you've got a 4/4, a 4/5, a 5/5.
Gives you 6 and power, like at instant speed, right? 6 power, 6 toughness.
6 power at instant speed. That's huge. On the attack or on the... They're like, oh, I've got some good attacks against you.
No, they don't.
You're not even being aggressive. You're just like... Block and block and block, and they're like, yeah, cool, right? This thing, and you got Dictate of Heliod? Kill your entire team. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I got caught out. I tried to bounce it with Retraction Helix, and he just played it again. I was like, forgot about that part.
That's
also really good, so it can't be like bounced. I don't know if that's like I don't know how relevant that ever is going to be.
I think the impressive part of it is it's good on offense and defense. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. It's like a card you can get value in both phases of play in terms of that. It's fantastic.
Really good combat
trick.
Thinking
about it, actually goes very well with a Crow and Horse.
So, yeah.
It gives you a 3/3 every turn.
Yeah. Wow. Mm.
They don't even get killed when you... you don't even kill the horse when you attack into it with your 3/3 soldiers.
Oh, my God.
So good. I'm going to make a deck around it.
All right. Other little tricksy stuff. Reprisal. It's 1 and a white. It's coming in an uncommon. It's instant. And the text is destroy target creature with power 4 or greater, and it can't be regenerated.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Just a little.
If you're worried about Banishing Light and the creature coming back, well, hello.
Just reprisal it. Why is it called reprisal? What does that mean? Does that mean just to destroy something?
Yeah, does that mean reprisal's kind of like here we go again. It's coming back.
Oh, I thought it was like something to do with like paying your... I don't know what the word is.
You're thinking of repayment.
No, like if Senecas is like transgressed, he faces a reprisal for his transgressions.
You can't destroy him with reprisal.
No.
Maybe in the story you can. I don't know. She's killing a dragon or something in the picture, I think.
Oh, that really bad War of the Gods
the
dragon.
Picture.
Yeah, definitely.
Dragon.
Yeah, it's like 4 power, right?
Die.
And this is our first Raymond Swanland as well for the.
It's good,
for the part,
right?
Yeah.
That's a good. Yeah,
that's not bad.
I haven't had a proper look at that before.
Yeah.
This one caused a lot of funny backlash from the...
Vanquish the Vow.
Because there was a card that cost 6 mana, was a sorcery in Theros, that no one played because it was like...
I sideboarded that in a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes they have a giant thing that you need to kill.
Yeah, you need to kill
their Wingsteed Riders.
Horizon Scholar or something when they finally stabilize.
Man.
So you bring in Vanquish the Vow. That was 6 mana, sorcery, and you got to scry one, like whatever. Reprisal is 2 mana. You can leave this up and tricks, just blow up whatever huge thing they've made. It's just very, very powerful for uncommon.
And they were both uncommon as well. That's what makes me upset.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Just I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. You draw this in your opening hand. Mm-hmm. You've kind of mulliganed for a few rounds, haven't you? Because nothing with four or greater is going to arrive. So it's not the kind of removal where you go, great, I've got some removal. I'm going to hold on to that because I'm going to use it soon.
It's not
an early game kind of
strategy. Yeah, exactly. In other sets, it would be less... I remember there was a card that did the same thing at four mana in this record, Smite the Monstrous. And that wasn't always playable because you could flood the board with three power creatures.
Yeah, Innistrad was much faster, right?
Yeah. They'd have this stupid dead card in their hand. But the fact that it costs two mana and Theros is built around building up either big monsters or big heroes, you're going to have a target. I did play one game where I didn't find a target for it. It was the black deck, and they've got all like 2/5 death touches and 1/1s with death touch, and then they kill you with some 2-power intimidate guy, and I was like, reprisal, no.
This is a 2-card. It's later on in the game, but it's going to be one of those, I'm going to spend 2 on this, and I'm going to do something else.
Yeah.
So
and I think
it's instant speed as well.
Yeah.
So.
And it gains value because I think you often can just hold on to your removal till later in the in the game. Like, you don't need to necessarily kill their 2-2 or whatever. Like, so when that's something that you need to kill, usually is that size.
Like,
so
there's a lot of
cool
evasion in white, so you could be flying over as their 2-2s business on the ground, so you know.
Spade 2-3.
What you struggle with is them just playing a Nessie and Asp, and it just the entire board is clogged up by it.
Can't beat that card.
And finally cast my Nessie and Asp, deal with your flyers,
reprisal.
And reprisal.
Yeah. Boom. See you later. Two mana player combat track as well.
So good.
I'm going to do that.
Here's one I'm surprised that made the, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say.
First pick.
First pickable. It's a white card. It's called a Crowan Mastiff. 3 and a white, and it's a common. Creature Hound. Nothing to do with Game of Thrones. It's a 2/2 Hound, and it's got an ability which is for 1 white, you can tap it to tap target creature.
Mm.
There you go.
So again, making cards that cost the same and do similar things. There was a card called Ephara's Warden in Theros, which is tap target creature with power 3 or less.
Did that cost any mana to activate?
It cost 4, no mana.
This one does cost
mana. But that one was a 1/2, and it was just garbage because the stuff that you cared about was Nessie and Asp, stuff that they bestowed onto their creatures, and you couldn't tap it past that point.
If you're playing, if you're losing to 2 and 3 power creatures, playing something on 4, untapping, and then tapping out one of the, that's not going to help anything.
Can't even block ever.
Yeah. So, against that black deck, maybe, you know.
Oh, but, yeah.
So this is a creature card, which is just coming onto the board at 4. Mm. You know, it's too late to play a 2/2 with any benefit.
Yeah.
So he's just going to come onto the board, and he's really going to be one of those guys that hangs in the background to do his work, isn't he? He's not going to get involved.
As soon as
he gets involved later on, he's going to be a chump blocker.
Yeah.
He's going to be a desperate chump blocker.
Yeah.
So you're going to hope you can tap them.
They shied away from putting tappers in good tappers in this block previously because
it was so Voltron-y.
Yeah, because the format was built around building up this one big threat or going monstrous and attacking with one big ill-tempered Cyclops or whatever. So this can immediately shut down one thing on the board, and you can change
turn after. Mm-hmm.
But you can't even block into something and then use its ability to take something else out, though,
Historically, tappers have been very good because it's like a versatile removal spell.
Yeah.
So with Banishing Light, you go, Banishing Light, you're 3/3, and they're like, Nessie and Aspen, you're like, I should have used it on that, you know? So it is like a removal spell in that way, in that you'll always be able to tap down the biggest thing on the board.
They can't block as well if they attack because you can just tap their blocker and sort of get back.
And then not to forget, it's target creature. It's also going to hook into those inspired cards that you might have.
That as well. That's kind of sick.
That's awesome.
You're twiddling your thumbs. You know?
So it's it is bad that it comes down on 4, takes another turn to activate. You need to spend a mana every turn to do it. But
I actually didn't think about it. How much you get? Sorry to interrupt. You get a lot more value just if you have an inspired creature.
It's really versatile.
So there's a couple of weird artifacts I think that do that.
It's been a real set for that, though, hasn't it? It's been you read the card and you think, right, what am I going to do to my opponent? And then you go, hang on, if I did that to this, if I just I'm just making up cards. If I did -2/-2 on target creature, and that was my creature, and that creature is currently a 4/4.
Yeah.
Wicked. I just did the heroic effect.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, it's sparked your 1-1 and get the heroic trigger. Yeah, that's
I've,
sick,
I've
right?
sparked jolted my wing steed rider once.
Balance leader. Such a weird set for that, isn't it? I'll just burn my own guy just to be an asshole about it.
And they sparked jolted as well, and you're like, no.
Sweetest play I did the other day. I was keeping Lash of the Whip in my hand to deal with whatever my opponent played with. And I attack with my 4/5, and he's like, Reprisal. I was like, Lash of the Whip, my guy. Ooh. Keep it alive till next time. He's just like, I'm out of removal spells. I'm dead. I was like, yes!
That's sick.
So sweet.
Okay, now blue cards. We got a Hour of Need.
Oh, man.
Hour of Need.
Oh, it's, man.
Hour of Need is a 2 and a blue. It's instant. It's uncommon. And it's got Strive. Hour of Need costs 1 and a blue more to cast for each target creature beyond the first. And that ability is exile any number of target creatures. For each creature exiled this way, its controller puts a 4/4 blue Sphinx creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Now, we talked about this one, didn't we, in the spoiler set? This seems like bullshit.
I think they meant to print it at red. That's when I read that card, I'm like, is that not a red?
Yeah,
like,
I think they messed up and put some shitty thing at red that we don't care about.
It's like someone wrote a rare card and then pissed off the boss and they're like, fuck you, you're not having a rare card, you know? We'll knock that
you
down.
Like the strap format, I'll show you what the strap format can do. This card's going to end so many games. Every time I've seen it cast, the player who was cast it has not lost. Because you deal with that giant dude, give them a 4/4, and you turn your stupid 2/2s into 4/4s with flying, kill them with it as well. I saw someone go off with like... 7 mana is not undoable.
No,
and
3 occurrences of this.
Exactly.
Yeah. You hold it's 12 power and it's a speed.
It's so dumb. I think it was in a blue-black deck. He had a 3/3 guy that you need to pay to make him attack a return phalanx.
Oh, that card's really good.
And 2 death touches. Literally waited until he got to 7 mana. And then just exiled his dudes, 12-you, 12-you.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do about that?
And an uncommon, it's a hard thing to do, but it's not impossible. You get 2 of them, so you can be like, you know, have two cracks at it in your same hand.
The setup cost of it is not very high. All you need to do is have a creature and then you have flyers.
Exactly, because I'm thinking if you did get, even if just with one, but if you got 2 of these, then from that moment on, you just draft any kind of bullshit cheap creature.
Yeah.
You say, I'm going to get these out.
Throw them in the way.
And you just get them out there and whatever chump blockers are alive. Well, you're a 4/4.
Suddenly 4/4s.
flying.
Yeah.
And how many 4/4s do you need to fly over with and smack them with before they've lost the game? It's not many.
Two is not very many. It costs 5
God,
to do that.
5 to do that.
It's kind of interesting how I think blue has a lot of really defensive early creatures. Mm-hmm. Like, that you can just turn into this power in the air once you sort of stabilize.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
And it's got these utility ones, even looking at stuff like Dacra Mystic and all the bits and pieces from the past, random defenders and stuff. Sigil Starfish, exactly.
That guy, I really enjoy that card.
Unfortunately, hasn't made it onto this top 5.
No, the second card that did in blue is a word that's come up a lot in my life all of a sudden. It's like, you know.
Me too. Yeah, like, I'm not joking. Yeah. I've heard the word hubris more in the last 2 weeks of my life than I have the... And I was like, what?
Really?
Never heard it before.
There you go. Confirmation bias. Listen to your logical fallacy and science shows. Anyway, hubris, the magic card, is 1 and a blue. It's instant and it's common. Return target creature. Is that enough? No. And all auras attached to it to their owner's hand. If I was going to do premonitions, I thought there'd be some sort of huge Tower of Enchantment hatred coming in this set. And here it is.
I'm so glad.
Two. How much have you invested in that over there? Oh, about 20 mana over several months. Well, it's all gone.
That's good.
Stick it in your hand and rebuild.
Played this heroic creature, aimed a target, a thing at it to scry. Okay, bestow. And they're like, oh, the bestow resolved. Cool. All right, attack. And you're like, return that all to your hand. It's going to cost you another 10, 11 mana over the next 2 turns to get back to that point. It cost me 2 to undo all of it.
I'm kind of glad that I don't lose to the, like, 1 mana Triton Shore Thief or deal with Purpros, hit you, bolt your creature, you're dead. Like, I'm glad I don't just lose to that now because that's
just
happened more than
like
once.
Removal, kill the creature at the bottom of that tower, and then the board goes crazy. It's just like the whole lot's gone.
A nice clean answer. And common as well.
Have we said it yet?
For two.
Yeah,
I know. I was pretty happy with Voyager's End, but sometimes you Voyager's End something and they get like two bestow guys and you'd be like, man.
And at instant speed. Yeah. So you could do your thing and then you go, right, you'll go. And they're doing their thing and you just go, oh, I just happen to have two mana spare and hubris. I'll just blow that up at the end of your go.
Yeah.
Because I, you know,
super good.
I'll be doing something different next round and you won't have that guy getting away.
Obviously, slight amount of downside with them getting the draw card cycle from Theros. Enchantments are when they come into play the draw card. So they can play the thing, then reactivate heroic and draw a card off it. But the downside of doing that is, hey, how about don't hubris that thing, hubris the other thing that's bothering you.
Yeah. Especially Constellation as well. Constellation makes bouncing enchantments maybe not as good in a few situations I've had, but like...
But the fact that this is a common, it's so versatile.
Yeah.
You can even do it to your own stuff to reactivate your draw card and things. So
the upside
on it is so huge and the downside is not.
No. All right. Well, it looks like lazy podcasting. We've got in the MTG Journey into Nyxed Fat Pack book, we're going for three cards in a row, I've noticed. We've gone for Hour of Need, Hubris, and now Hypnotic Siren. I'm starting to believe that Aaron just went, these three. Yeah. Through a drunken squint, you know, like several nights ago, I'll just review these three cards. Fuck it, I'm not looking through the whole set.
The next two, I'm pretty sure, are next to each other as well.
Yeah, they are too.
Yep. All right. So these ones are at the end as well.
Like, whatever.
All right, so let's talk about Hypnotic Siren, another expensive card at one blue. That's an enchantment creature. She's a siren, you know, so she loves singing, drawing you in. And she's rare and a 1/1. She can be bestowed. Wow, that's a difference. Some of these cards I haven't read yet. You know, I haven't been very active in the game this week. But Hypnotic Siren costs one. And if you want to bestow her, she's 7. So you know something evil is about to be told. So she's got flying, and you control enchanted creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying. Oh, that sounds very thematic, doesn't it, with the siren? Bestow it upon someone, draw them in, they're yours now. Even the pitcher has a cyclops looking guy.
I think his foot going off the cliff.
He's going off the cliff.
Oh, man.
Wandering off the cliff.
That's so good.
So you can have a 1/1 flying siren, which is...
Generally, that's been okay in limited. And in this format, it's good.
Ordeal of Thassa.
Yeah, Ordeal of Thassa on my flying
so
one drop.
You've got to be confident you're going to get to 7, haven't you? Because 7 is quite a hit.
You can't just throw this in any deck, but most blue-white heroic decks top the curve at a bestow at 6 or 7. I've bestowed Heliod's Emissary so many times.
And
it's fantastic when you do that. But in this case, you're getting probably one of the best limited 2/1s you can get, which is a mind control.
Instead of hubrising the tower, you're saying, I now own that tower.
And there's no good way for them to get all the enchantments off it. So it's just, for 7 mana, this can just completely take over again.
So you've really got to make your mind up quick, haven't you? You know, maybe, I suppose over 3 games, if you're unfortunate enough to play 3 games, I think most of us just get it over within 2, don't we?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I lose it in 2, you guys win in 2.
Sure.
You're either just going, I need a 1, I need a 1/1 flyer immediately, or I'm going to hold on to this and... played it for 7 later on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've played Hopeful Eidolon on turn 1 a few times because either you're playing against an aggressive deck or you've got a good amount of stuff to suit it up with, or you think that you're going to be chalked up at playing stuff at 4.
But those, you know, like you bestow upon a bestowable creature, you get Vigilance or you get the lifelink still. This, you don't get any benefit from bestowing
from
on top
itself,
of itself. You
know? Yeah. I think a 1/1 flying for 1. Yeah, exactly.
Is evasion, it flying? Yeah.
Evasion on a 1 drop is fine. And I remember in...
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, isn't it?
In Return of Ravnica Limited, I never played Judge's Familiar, which is the one that's playing in mono blue decks.
Yeah, it's a popular
card. You're 1/1 flying for 1 white or blue, hybrid mana.
It had upside as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could sack it to counter it instead of sorcery. Yeah. But I didn't play it until I realized all the aggressive decks I was playing, what flyer are they going to play on turn 3, 4, or 5 that's going to block this? So if I play this on turn 1, it's doing 6 damage to my opponent.
Yeah.
And I read some article where he's like, it's a 1-mana lava axe. Pretty much, which is
really
just 5 damage
to
their base. And sometimes you can sack it to the camera.
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed Dagger Dromium, just off topic.
Oh, Dagger Dromium was really good in that format.
Sorry, it's my favorite.
Warwing Siren comes in at 2 and a blue, and this follows a theme. I saw this and instantly thought of the whole, you know, Crow and Sky Guard, Wingsteed Rider guy. Mm-hmm. So Warwing Siren, 2 and a blue, creature, Siren Soldier. He's got flying and a heroic effect, which is whenever you cast a spell that targets Warwing Siren, put a +1/+1 counter on Warwing Siren, and it starts as a 1/3. So you can see it's one of those Chromsky guy, Wasted Rider kind of guys, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But is he good starting off with one?
Yeah,
one power.
The one power is blows a little bit.
Yeah, it's not very. It's a very defensively statted card.
It wants to stay alive until you can charge it up a little bit.
But man,
it
does not take very much to get this thing to the ridiculous level. There's a lot of just +2/+2 bestow things for quite cheap now. So say you're playing blue red, stick Everflame Eidolon from Born of the Gods on it. Suddenly it's a 3/5 flying that's attacking on turn 4, and you can give it fire breathing or what, and that's not undoable. Yeah. That's a perfectly reasonable sequence of events. And I think this might even be better than Wingsteed Rider in some situations.
Big call.
Sorry.
You heard it here first.
You lose one
Ride
power.
Ride in and tell us why we're wrong.
It doesn't die to random fall of the hammer, a 2-power creature on your thing. Doesn't
magma
die to
spray.
Magma Spray, which is now in the format. It doesn't die to Magma Jet. And it's just like, I feel like it's going to be able to actually block something the turn it comes.
It can block Wingsteed Rider the
it
turn.
Can exactly.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. It's very rarely going to survive tussling with a Wingsteed Rider, but yeah, in fact, it's just the 1/3 with the heroic +1/+1 trigger is always going to be good, I think.
Yeah, and you get less Wingsteed Riders, so if you're drafting like a blue-white deck, you can have both. Now, that's sort of your makeup for not having 3 packs of Wingsteed Riders.
Yeah, Dondeleus Doss.
Yeah. It's one of those cards where when I read it, I got excited, but then I thought, hang on, are the designers trying to suck me into something? Because they've got me used to a Chrome Sky, they've got me used to a Wingsteed Rider, so I'm going, yeah, they're great. And then this one's the same, but with that just high toughness, low power. Yeah. And I was thinking, hang on, is this a skill tester?
And
I'm
weird to look at. Yeah, the first time.
So I'm nervy about it, but it's going to play out. Have you guys played it yet? Yeah, I've drafted it.
I played it in, I had two in one of my sealed decks. Ooh. And I played it on turn 3 and I was like, this is a bit weak.
Yeah.
A 1/3 flying. It takes one trigger for that thing to be quite large. And even if it's just a
because like you say, it's gonna laugh at a lot of removal, isn't it? Because as soon as you just get one heroic one trigger thing, and it's 4 toughness, and all of a sudden it's like then you need a lash of a whip, and then you're just like, oh, you go beyond that, then you're looking for your
you need a sip of hemlock,
reprisal.
But everything's going to die a sip of hemlock,
and then you can God's willing it, and you have a 5/6,
which is great. I drafted it with 3 fall of the hammer, so that was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow, that's
I don't know how that happened, but it was a lot of fun.
All right, to finish off blue, we've got Whitewater. Oh, for crying out loud, there's too many vowels in that. Whitewater Naiads.
It's pronounced Nads.
Whitewater Nads. I've had those. You know when you get in a pool too early in the year, you know, it's like October.
And they go inside you.
There you go, that's right. You feel like, oh, my tonsils. No, they're not my tonsils. They're testicles. Oh, shit.
My Whitewater Nads.
So my Whitewater Nads is a 3/2 blue enchantment creature. She's a nymph.
Ooh,
sexy. And she's got red boobs too.
She'll cure your Whitewater Nads.
She will. She'll get you blue balling in no time. Right, she's an enchantment creature nymph. She's uncommon. She's a 4/4. She's got constipation. It's whenever Whitewater Nads or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, target creature can't be blocked this turn. And by block, they do mean bowels.
But yeah.
They're talking about get your laxatives on board. Yeah. You can't laxative anyone.
You cannot be blocked in the turn that you have.
No. Everybody's been eating prunes on this battlefield. So what's Whitewater Nads doing?
So I remember back in days of yore, 2 years ago, where blue didn't get large creatures, and now they get large creatures.
Visitrix?
With a rare, sweet 6/6 in blue. Now they get 4/4s at uncommon with a huge upside. When did blue blue is an aggressive color in this thing. Whitewater Naiads can come down on 5, turn your big bestowed tower, creature, whatever, unblockable that turn. And then all you need to do is play enchantments once every couple turns, and you're getting a free at least 4 damage on Whitewater Naiads. It's going to close out a lot of games. It's really, really strong, uncommon.
And it's target creature.
Target creature.
So that will activate.
It doesn't activate heroic.
No.
It doesn't? Oh, okay.
Because Heroic needs to be a spell from your hand, and White Water Knights is the ability. But the fact it can just make whatever you're bestowing. So if you bestow on six, that's not unheard of.
Yeah.
Bestow on six, triggers Constellation. Whatever you bestowed it onto, maybe White Water Knights, make that unblockable. Get him for free, like six, seven damage is pretty good.
And sort of the note about how bouncing enchantments isn't always the best, like, you bounce this, they play it again, they hit you for free. Like, a lot of that stuff is... Exactly. Constellation specifically makes that kind of really awkward.
Yeah.
And it's that mid-range one with no... Like you said, blue has often had, like, a 6-6, but it's always had can't attack if the other guy hasn't got an island or something like that.
You've got to do something to jump through hoops.
Worst case scenario, this is a 4-4 for 5.
Yeah. That, green doesn't even have that sometimes.
I feel like this could be a black card if it was just target creature gains intimidate. That would actually feel really, really
Tubbo,
black to me.
Super, super surprised. The blue one's better than the black one. There's a black one.
The black one doesn't do anything, does it?
All right. Black cards.
Black cards. Black cards. Well, here we go. Honorable mention to the lame Constellation 4-2, which gives a creature intimidate.
Oh, really? That's a real card?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, first one in black.
So bad.
First one in black is Doomwake Giant. And this I was, you know what got me nervous about this? The artist. Anytime Kev Walker gets involved, I get nervous.
Why?
It's usually a shitty card or there's a massive art flat. Don't get me wrong, I like where Kev Walker's come from.
Yeah.
You know, I used to read 2018. I'm pretty sure he was in there. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily a fact.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure he was in there when Simon Bisley, my favorite artist of all time, was working. I think Kev Walker was around. So I'm nostalgic about Kev.
He's done magic artwork for almost the whole time that he's been...
But it's usually questionable.
Yeah.
I'll leave it like that.
I don't know if you saw Fellhide Minotaur, the Minotaur that's just kind of grinning.
I think he was
Kev Walker in big letters.
All right. So Doomwake Giant, it's 4 and a black, it's rare, it's an enchantment creature, and he's a giant. And if the picture wasn't enough, he's a giant.
Very big.
Yeah, he's bigger than a field. He's 4/6, and he's got a constellation. Whenever Doomwake Giant or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, creatures your opponent's control get -1/-1 until the end of turn. So lots of things falling out of the sky if the need be. So
the fact, again, black never used to get that big creatures, and now it's just like 5 mana, 4/6.
Which is nuts, which is fine.
Cool.
That's very good
by
itself.
That's fine, isn't it? You happy with that, Tubbo?
It'd be okay. Yeah.
I'd play a 5 mana, 4/6. Not at rare. But sometimes it would make
your
deck.
But once they're in your hand, who gives a shit what rarity are? Because you've got them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's there. It's in the pack. Yeah. Are you going to pick it or not?
Yeah, I've got 8 mythic rares in my hand. This is the way it felt.
Yeah. They all cost 9. But this one, the fact that it comes down makes all of your... I assume all of your attacks better. Kills
not necessarily.
It just means that if you had 3/3s and they had 3/3s, your attacks are good.
But when he arrives, it's really of no good. You know, he arrives, everyone gets -1/-1. If that's any creature you've got, then they all ping back the +1/+1 back. So no effect if he arrives by himself.
Hopefully you're not playing him onto an empty board. But the fact he gets rid of pesky Death Touch guys, gets rid of random flies.
Sedge Scorpion.
Yeah, the Baroness is chosen as well.
We're not going to play for another round.
And the color-shifted Sedge Scorpion.
Yeah, and there's the white cards that are all
X1s.
Elite Skirmisher, Oreska Swiftclaw. These are these high power, low toughness things. The fact it can come down and randomly kill 2 of your opponent's creatures
it's
in their
really
aggressive
good.
Deck
yeah.
is good. And then later on you can play 2 enchantments in a turn and wipe their board or do it post-combat after they've made some
good shots. That would be probably a good use.
Yeah, if you can drop 2 enchantments, that's like a -2/-2 to everything.
Only to their creatures as well, because I didn't play Drown and Sorrow because my black decks had low toughness creatures as them.
Yeah.
Alright, so...
Because they're brain maggots, actually. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah, get that brain maggot.
All right, the second black card you want to talk about is Feast of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find it. The Feast of Dreams. It's 1 and a black, and it's an instant, and it's a common. Destroy target enchanted creature or enchantment creature. There you go. That's what we talked about before.
Text. Yeah. But again, hating on the load up your guy with enchantments, the tower, going tall strategy. They don't print removal they haven't printed removal like this in Theros block, so I feel spoilt for choice with Reprisal, Feast of Dreams. Like, you can second or third pick Feast of Dreams and be guaranteed that you're going to have a target in pretty much every deck.
Yeah.
Because there's enchantment creatures, bestow creatures when they bestow it or when it's just by itself. Like, you can just kill a Thassa's Emissary for two mana. It's just very, very versatile. It's going to be very rare, the games that you don't have a target for. So it's just very good
this
removal.
This is removal that will make that tower spread across the battlefield, though. It's going to take out one peg and Jenga across the table. Right? Yeah.
It's sort of interesting how it follows their sort of trend of making all their removal in, like, limited, very, very,
very
specific.
Narrow. Yeah.
Which makes it quite interesting now that you've got enough.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt like maybe when I was drafting just Theros, that you sometimes just wouldn't have the right spell and you would die to their giant stacked up dude.
Yeah.
But now you've still got a better balance. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just got really frustrated with that. And now it feels like it's a lot more complete and it's sort of a full sort of back and forth.
I've drafted the block a few times now and I'm really, I think that it's at a very, very good balance. Of removal and powerful effects.
Yeah.
Whereas Theros just by itself could often just be who made the biggest thing first.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just haymakers like, eight damage. Hopeful Eidolon. Okay, I win now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. The third card you wanted to talk about was King Makar, the Gold Cursed.
King Midas.
Two and two black. It's a legendary creature who's a human and rare. He's a 2/3. He's got an inspired effect. Whenever King Makar, the Gold Curse, becomes untapped, you may exile target creature. If you do, put a colorless artifact token named Gold onto the battlefield. It has sacrifice this artifact. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool. So another one of those... Guild.
Touch it with your golden finger power.
Yeah. King Makar.
This card seems like really, really strong. Like you have to get one attack in with it. Give it intimidate or unblockable or whatever for a turn, and then like I can't deal with that. I can't play any creatures. As soon as it untaps, it's going to get exiled, and it ramps your mana.
Which is really good.
Which will help you bestow onto him
to keep him attacking.
The card just seems like it can get out of control really quickly, and your opponent won't ever be able to play creatures again because you'll just turn them into golden statues of themselves.
Yeah. King Makar would like having a Crown Mastiff as his doggy, wouldn't he?
Oh,
like,
that would be
so good. I'll sit here on my throne and fall asleep. And wake up and everyone's
turning
gold.
Don't even need to attack.
Yeah.
Got this dog. It actually makes me want to play silly stuff like... Springleaf Drum.
Oh, yeah, and the Siren Song Lyre, I think
Song
it was.
Lyre, tap down one of their creatures, untap, exile this one.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Sounds so fun.
I like the little seeding of good inspired stuff that they put in Border of the Gods. It means that the deck construction in Limited is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah. It took me... Yeah, I still find like it takes a while to fully absorb that sort of stuff. Just... quite understand how the inspired trigger, the constellation trigger, how that sort of plays in with these other cards.
It's a lot of stuff to keep track of now, but it's good.
I feel like it made it really interesting from a like just thinking about it point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
4/2/3. It's gonna be one of those though. You were gonna go. I just I've had that with inspired guys, haven't they? You know, you swing in and you just hope he's gonna live.
Yeah. So you got like you just think
as a servant of Timurad had the
regenerate.
So swinging in doesn't matter if someone kills him.
It's even better if he regenerates, like you block, he regenerates, then you also get the inspired trigger kind of for free, which is nice.
So he's a bit fragile by himself, but doesn't take very much to get one good attack in, and then you can start exiling
going
all
for
of
it.
Their stuff.
All right, Master of the Feast. He's a 1/2 black. He's a 5/5.
This sounds reasonable.
Okay, so Master of Feast, 1/2 black. Yeah, he's rare, but that doesn't explain the 5/5 alone, surely. Let's read on. Oh, hang on. He's got flying as well.
Still reasonable.
Three cross flying 5/5. All right.
Classic demon.
At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent draws a card.
Oh.
So is that... each opponent draws a card. You're filling their hands and not your own. It's not everybody.
Yeah.
It's each opponent.
It's each opponent. So you play this. They take their turn. Gets back to your turn. They draw a card. You attack with a 5/5 with flying. If they don't kill it immediately,
they drew a removal spell. Or they're just going to die.
The one reprisal in their deck, or they're going to die in 3 turns.
Yeah.
Four turns if you haven't dealt any other damage to them. The fact that they need that removal spell immediately. Obviously, you're going to slightly help them draw it, but it doesn't actually help that
five
much.
Is a lot each time, isn't it?
Yeah. Five is huge, and coming down with evasion, Worst case scenario, gets locked down by a Crone Mastiff or something like that.
That's really bad.
That's very, very bad. That's the stuff nightmares are made of.
If I've just got a table of blockers that are flies, like one blockers or something like that.
Yeah. You might not even want to play it. Like, if they've got a lot of chump blockers, it's quite likely they're going to draw a way to deal with it eventually.
Because so, then you've just given them a draw an extra card.
Yeah, they've drawn
time.
Like five, six cards over your six turns.
I think when it's bad, it's really bad.
But
it's a 3-mana Howling Mine only for them.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
You can see it coming, can't you? You know, you can see after like game one, you know, whether he needs to stay in your deck or not. But most of the time, he'd be pretty strong, yeah?
Yeah.
Especially just turn three. Just turn three. I have this 5/5. Go.
Exactly.
Yeah. So like super overpowered.
Also interesting is that it's in your turn. So you don't, they can't draw an extra card, hit a removal spell, kill it on their turn.
Oh, yeah.
They have to wait till your turn if it's an instant speed.
It would be much, much worse if it triggered like on their upkeep. Like,
yeah,
if it was
actually
opponent's upkeep, they drew a card.
Just draw two cards.
And, yeah. Because it means it triggering on your turn means they can't draw sorcery speed removal
exactly.
as well.
Yeah.
And it also gives you a chance to untap and protect it. God's willing.
I've lost that. It was very upsetting.
On this guy?
That was very, very upsetting.
All right, what are we up to? The last one, where are we? Master of the Feast, you've done that guy. Silence of the Believers.
Okay,
I think Silence of the Believers, I believe, looking at it, is the same guy from Feast of Dreams, except he's just having a dagger yanked out of his neck. So things didn't go well at the feast.
I think there's just a lot of Sator hatred in this set. Kill all the Sators!
Yeah, isn't it Agent of the Fates killing one of Xenagos' Sators? That's what it is, right?
It is Agent of the Fates. Oh,
and Xenagos in the background be like, oh no!
My Sator friend! This little human dude! Oh.
Alright, so Silence of the Believers is 2/2 black. It's a rare instant, and it's got Strive. So Silence of Believers is going to cost you 2 and a black to Strive on. And the ability you get is exile any number of target creatures and all auras attached to them.
Card upset me a lot when I first saw it.
What do you got? This got printed and I was like, this card is ridiculous.
I got so upset. Made Guild pointless, basically, which was one of my favorite cards. Made me very upset.
Tabo plays a lot of block constructed. In case you didn't understand that last sentence why he loves Guild.
I saw it in the sideboard of a standard deck.
Oh, yeah, it was an Esper.
I don't really know why.
Because you can play Elspeth on turn 5 after killing
something.
That's
exciting. So this can also do that in block constructed.
So this is the hubris, but instead of it coming back to your hand, it just gets exiled.
You just
instead.
Forever.
It just goes away. But again, it's 4, and then to Strive again, you're going to do 7. So to get rid of 2 guys, you've got to have 7 mana.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the limit of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that this is one of the strongest limited cards in the block, just because it specifically punishes. It's very versatile in that you can play it at 4, just exile something. Immediately. Yeah. Instant speed, they double block one of your things, you just exile one of them, whatever. The fact that later on they can be finally stabilizing, getting back into the game, load up a guy with an enchantment or two, bestow something, and then have another thing back to block with. And you just have 7 mana and just, they have nothing left on the board. It's not unheard of. And I've played against this card 3 times now.
Wow.
And each time they've done it for 7 mana. It's
really
not difficult to get to that and just get your 2 best things immediately.
Especially if the removal in the set overall is getting cheaper, the games are going to go longer.
Yeah. So it's 2 colorless and a black as well. So it's not like it's hitting you for, you know, you can play it in a multicolored, dual colored deck.
Yeah, you have 3 swamps and a 9/8 mana split in your draft deck or whatever. And just the fact that you can, someone's like, well, I've got to go all in on this creature. Hopefully they don't have hubris. And instead you're like, no, I'm just going to destroy your dreams.
Yeah. That card's very, very strong.
Okay, red cards. This just to finish off before we get into flavor text. We're going to do red. We've got a Harness by Force. Is that Harness by Force? Which is 1 and 2 red. It's a rare card. And it's a sorcery speed card. It's got Strive for 2 and a red. And it's gain control of any number of target creatures until end of turn. Untap those creatures. They gain haste until end of turn. So that shall be mine. I'll harness you by force. So,
yeah.
So this just seems, in the same way that Silence of the Believers is a really good way to spend a heap of mana to make sure that you'll win in future turns, harnessed by force for six, reasonably.
Yeah, it's win now.
Is win immediately on the turn. So it's like you've dealt them some damage with some early creatures. Thing. They finally stabilize with, say, God forbid, a Nessian Asp. And like a 2/3. And instead you pay six mana and kill them.
Yeah. Is this a pack one windmill slam card?
Yeah, I think it is, because especially because you can draft around it as well. Yeah,
definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mogus Warhound, he's uncommon. He's one and a red. Enchantment creature. He's also a hound.
Hound.
And you can bestow him for two and a red. Mogus Warhound attacks each turn if able. I never like these guys. Yeah, he's a 2/2. I don't know if I said that. So one and a red for a 2/2. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 on attacks each turn if able.
So this is part of the uncommon cycle of drawback bestow creatures. They're designed in to, like, you can put them on your opponent's creatures if you really want to.
Nice. This is very exciting.
You can. Like, Gnarled Scarhide's the black one. You can pop that on one of their big blockers and it can't block. Also, it's an aggressive 2/1, one drop.
Yeah.
That can't block as well.
Savannah Lands.
Yeah, Savannah. Yeah, in black. They seem to get all those nowadays. This one is just kind of like... it does a lot for the drawback of putting it on one of your creatures, the fact that it has to attack every turn, you don't really care.
Because you've just given it +2/+2 for 3 mana.
And it's only cost you 2 to do it.
And the fact that bestow, like, remember when bestows cost 6? I paid 6 to bestow Spearpoint Oread on like a 2/2 to make a 4/4 first strike. This is just like, gets a very, like, meaningful impact on the board really quickly, and the drawback doesn't...
because you chuck him on a 2/2, then you've got a 4/4 who can't hold back. He's going to keep hitting away.
Yep.
If you lose him, then you've got a 2/2 that's coming at him as well. So he's still got to deal with it. It's going to take 2 chunks out of him at least.
And they've got a double block, and then you've always got the opportunity for tricks. So the attacking each turn, if able... Like,
so would you ever cast this on someone else's cards? Unless you've got some big guy that's just waiting to eat him, aren't you? You know?
But well, I feel like giving...
I can't think of a good... situation.
It seems too. Yeah, it seems too.
I mean,
risky,
I can see it happening in very niche situations.
Yeah,
like they have a really big blocker, and you've got a lot of little creatures, and you're on enough life. Like,
you bestow him on someone else, and then that creature dies. He comes back to you.
He comes back to you.
Yeah, because you control him.
The enchantment. Yeah. One of them. The white one is very aggressively costed. It's a 3/2 for 2 called Sightless Brawler.
Yeah, can't attack or block alone, is it?
I think the black one is the only one I could see putting...
It's a lot more reasonable. Yeah.
All right, but moving through red now, we're up to the Oh My God stage, and it is a mythic rare, so get ready for this one. First mythic of the day. Prophetic Flame Speaker. I'll say that again. Prophetic Flame Speaker. He's 1/2 red. So the 2 red pips obviously tell you that someone's coming. He's a 1/3. He's got double strike and trample. So whenever Prophetic Flame Speaker deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of your library. You may play it this turn.
Yeah, so this is the new red ability of being able to play the cards, but only in that short time period. We saw it on Chandra Pyromaster. This one's on a very aggressively costed double striking creature.
It's very exciting in a block
that's built around pumping up your creatures individually, and then you can just get you can draw 2 extra cards off at a turn.
The one thing probably I found interesting was like the play between it being a 1/3, which is very not very exciting.
So
you
have to trample.
So you have to commit resources to make sure it gets through, which takes away from the ability to cast the cards that it gets off them.
Yeah.
So like if you wanted to Titan Strength it, like that's one less red mana. But also, I'm okay with Titan Strengthing my 1/3 double strike trample not casting extra cards.
I'll play land off the top of
my deck. Yeah, so something like that is fine. I found it was an interesting play.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. You can do this. You do upkeep. You know you're going to play this. You don't play your land, which is in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You play this guy. You look at the top card of your... Oh, no, you do damage to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So when you do damage to the person, you try not to play a land if you think...
Exactly. If you draw
a land, you go, bingo, that's just... I'm straight down.
Yeah. And that's drawing you a card. Like, we've seen that off Courser of Kruphix, where you can just play the lands from the top of your deck. It is drawing cards. Like, you are drawing more cards than your opponent is because...
You may miss a land drop later on, and then you've got one.
Exactly, you've got one in your hand. Yeah, it also means you're not drawing that shitty land.
You just dug deeper into your deck.
The sad days are when you exile two lands and you draw the third land, but you can't have it all.
It's going to happen every now and then. Mm. All right. Just does a lot for very little, I think. Yeah.
Very, very potent.
Flurry of Horns. Who's back a page? Flurry of Horns is a... Flurry of Horns is 4/1 red. It's sorcery speed and it's common. So that's 5 total mana. For that 5 mana, you're putting 2/2, 2/3 red Minotaur creature tokens with haste onto the battlefield. So one spell, you've got 4/6.
If only it cost 4, Aaron.
Oh.
If only it cost 4.
If only.
Oh, did I say for 4 mana, did I?
If only.
Oh, sorry. It's definitely for 5
mana. It's for 5. If only, Aaron.
Oh, God.
But still, is that a good equation? Cut. 5 total mana Cut's for good. 2/3 Minotaur?
Yeah, like, it doesn't... the first time I saw it, I was like, this doesn't seem like much.
No.
It really doesn't. 2/2/3s are going to die. They'll get outclassed in combat.
At turn 5 as well.
On turn 5, yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's 4 power, 6 toughness of hasty creatures coming down on turn 5 after you've assumedly been attacking them with other stuff, it just means... Your board presence is immediately a lot bigger. It's got targets for bestow now, and this is spread over 2 bodies. Even in a pinch, this happened when I was playing on the weekend, you get 4/6, a 4/6 blocker spread over 2 creatures for 5 mana. That's awesome anyway. I think this card was pushed.
You can block a lot with 6.
Yeah. And God forbid that you have a Rage Blood Shaman out and you get 2/3/4 tramplers with haste.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's right. They are Minotaurs, so that's good to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to finish off red.
Exciting card here.
Here we go. This is Blade Tusk Boar. So this is an angry pig. He's 3 and a red. He's common, and he's a creature. He's a boar. His power is 3. His toughness is 2. So he's a 4 mana 3/2. But he's got intimidate. So he's getting through.
He's getting through a lot.
He's getting through a lot.
Red creatures not particularly known for their defensive skills.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be playing a lot of decks that can easily block this guy, which makes him just a
He's 2 toughness, though. So, you know, against the red deck, he's going to be knocked down.
The very first Journey into Nyx draft I did was...
The U draft.
Yeah. It was red-white aggressive. The top of my curve was 2 Blade Tusk Boars. And so you just go 1-2 combat trick. And they're like, oh, finally deal with it. Stabilize it like 9. And you're like, ah, Blade Tusk Boar. And they're like, oh, use them on removal on your other things. And you're like, 3, 3, 3, you're dead.
Gotcha.
It can just clean up those games in those aggressive decks. And it's even good in the mid-rangey ones because it can just do a lot of damage. You can bestow stuff onto it
Can't block it, right?
Exactly. It's going to close out a lot of games. And again, doesn't take very much for it to do that.
This still feels like a black card to me because there was that M14 one that was a 4-3/2 Intimidate. So.
I think Blade Tusk Boar might have been... They've had Swamp Walkers in black for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think Blade Tusk Boar was from... This is a reprint from Zendikar, which was another very aggressive format. Yeah. And it was insane in that format as well.
So, really good.
Okay, everyone, it's time for Flavor Text. Flavor Text. Flavor Text. Flavor Text. Flavor Text.
That's good, that theme. I don't know why we need to record a proper one.
No, we don't.
Just do it live every time.
Yeah. I feel the music flow through me and it just comes from a really pure place.
All right, flavor text. Everyone knows how to play this at home. I read out a card's flavor text. The guys in the pod here, they write down the answers and then we review the answers.
Yeah.
And we play this because Aaron knows the answer to everything about anything that was written on a card ever.
It's true.
Like, Tabo's
if you've ever been around him for more than like 5 minutes, like,
he just says it in between. He goes, I'm going to the toilet now. And by the way, know everything about every magic card ever written.
Literally never said that.
Yeah.
But it's a
the
it's
bit
a...
about the toilet might have been an exaggeration. But he's definitely said the bit about the cards.
Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Aaron. I know literally everything about every magic card ever.
And eventually he'll meet that one magical girl. My God, you're the man for me.
Yes.
It hasn't worked thus far.
No.
Okay, now there is a theme. There's always usually a theme time.
Oh, exciting.
That's another way to guess them.
So that might help you out. But,
good.
I'm not going to give you the theme until the end.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I do stop reading after rules text because I also often just don't look at the art of cards. Well, so this will be exciting.
We've got one piece of flavor text here. So
Aaron's he's making excuses already. This is going to be a shoo-in.
I think, yeah, good. All right, I'm feeling good about this one.
All right, you ready? This is flavor text number one. You wish to learn of Nyx very well. And that was said by Fennec, God of Deception. You wish to learn of Nyx very well. Aaron, practically smolderingly written that down. Yeah. I can smell the burning paper from here.
Might as well just go home now.
We play a tough game in here.
It's a rough one.
Yeah, Tavo's realizing what he's up against.
Wow.
With question number one, we can come back to them.
Can I get like a hint or
no hint.
A lifeline?
No.
I'll walk you through my process, but only after you have not.
Can I hear it one more time? Maybe
yeah,
help.
One more time.
I also don't know the names of a lot of these cards, so that's probably know what it is.
This is from all cards from forever. This could be off. You know, this could be a quote. Shakespeare.
Printed in 98.
Original
printing of FedEx.
Okay, so you wish to learn of Nyx very well. Fennec, God of Deception.
What do you think he sounds like, Fennec?
You wish to learn of Nyx?
I imagine he sounds like Darth Vader because of the mask and the cape
and the ravens around
his
hand.
I think there's clues in the flavor text. Yeah. Okay, but moving on to number two, which is a bit more of a novel, unfortunately. Okay, flavor text number two. Who will miss you, Drywalker? A wife? A child? Perhaps they will blame the sea for your fate and teach future generations to stay far away from it.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, I think I know that one as well.
I think I know what he's getting on with there.
All the text is either like kind of weird or a lot of it is really dark and like
super nasty.
Yeah, all the red cards like are either just really silly or just like, I will murder you brutally. And like, oh, okay.
I will murder you joyfully.
Yeah.
That would be a yellow card, wouldn't it? Because it's sort of like a happy face. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah!
Murder!
Exclamation mark. Kindergarten slaughter.
Oh, gosh.
The new yellow card from Wizards of the Coast.
The sixth color.
All right. Do you want to hear that again? Because it's pretty long. You've got that one?
It's as good as I'm going to get.
Drywalker.
As good
as you get. All
right. Stuff about dry walkers. Yeah, passing on a message. All right. The last. I'll read it then. Who will miss you, Drywalker? A wife, a child? Perhaps they will blame the sea for your fate and teach future generations to stay far away from it.
Okay.
So obviously he doesn't own like a cruise liner or anything like that.
He doesn't work for the Triton Tourism Board.
No. Okay. The final flavor text for today is as follows. Krufix hid the most dire prophecies about humankind where humans would never find them and Tritons wouldn't care to read them. Wow, these guys, look at them. They're like so full. Man, I know this one. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I think I know that one. Yeah.
I know of like two cards that reference Krufix, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of these two.
Aaron, one of them
is Krufix himself.
Aaron will cheat. So, you know, copy your answers. Yeah.
Oh, no, you can definitely copy my answers. This is like,
high school, high school English exam.
I need to think of the first one, though.
The first one was, you wish to learn of Nyx very well, and Fennec, God of Deception, said it. Yeah.
I have no idea what the theme is. I think I have all three.
Well, if you think you've got all three, you might. All right. So let's jump straight into it, hey?
I'm just going to... I don't know.
You wish to learn of Nyx?
You wish to learn of Nyx very well. Turn
it to his flute.
Fennec, God of Deception. And did he have a penny flute with him?
Yeah. Oh, I've got a penny flute. I don't need a penny flute.
I cheated right there.
Oh, here comes Fennec, God of Deception.
You wish to learn of Nyx?
Very well.
All
right, who said that? What is that? Which card is that from? The flavor text of Aaron.
So, obviously, it's a blue or black card because Fennec is talking about it. Unless he's talking about something that he hates.
That's
so
clue that's number one.
Yeah, it's from Theros Block because the 1998 printing of FedEx was
kept a very well kept secret.
They planned way ahead.
This one is FedEx talking about like, what are you going to do if you Nyx, I'm going to return you and all the auras attached to you to your hands. Was that hubris?
One of the cards we just read?
Hubris, oh, man.
Well, I haven't given the answer yet, Tarba. What have you got written down?
For number one,
what have you got?
I don't want to say it now. I think I'm very embarrassed. I just put like Grim Guardian. Maybe the theme is Constellation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He guards so Nyx.
So you're going backwards, maybe, perhaps.
You wish to learn Nyx? I'm going to block you.
Yeah.
That's right. No.
Lose a life.
I think we should always make the guests go first now, because they always back out once they hear.
That would be good.
Next time. We'll keep the rules as is, but from now on, guest goes first.
Okay.
All right, and the answer was hubris.
Yes.
Well done, Aaron.
Thank you.
Probably should have just read the card.
Oh, shit.
It was there. It was like, yeah.
All right. So the second one is, who will miss you, Drywalker? A wife, a child? Perhaps they will blame the sea for your fate and teach future generations to stay far away from it.
Yeah.
Aaron.
I realize that I'm pretty great, and I use a lot of tools at my disposal to find out what the cards are. I think this one has
a lot of hubris.
And I have a fair amount of hubris as well.
Of course.
Is it misplaced? Let's find out.
That would be a giant wank to be wrong on.
I definitely know what this is. I am the best.
This one has a lot of flavor text because it doesn't have much text in its box. I think it's Triton Shorestalker can't be blocked. Shorestalker.
Okay,
that might be. That's actually
That's because he's like rising out of the waves and about to kill that dude, saying something fearsome like Drywalker.
All right.
Oh, that's true. It can't have very much flavor text.
Tarba is giving you some sort of hubris there.
Oh, no.
I think this one's wrong.
What have you got wrong?
I think I got it wrong.
Now, in retrospect, for how long that was, the two cards, I was like, that kind of fits what that is. You just actually won't be able to fit that flavor text on there. So I was like, that 2/6, mill constellation thing.
Oh, Thassa's Devourer.
Because that's like a big thing coming out of the ocean, being like, Drywalker, take you to the bottom of the ocean, sort of thing.
So what are you going to go with?
I'll go with that.
What?
Because I don't know the name of that
Thassa's
card. Thassa's Devourer.
Thassa's Devourer. Because what was the other one you were tossing up between, just so we can laugh if it was with the other one?
Yeah, it was also Whitewater Nights, because that has that thing. But I don't think that actually has any flavor text on it, because the constellation text is quite long.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of reminder.
All right. It's Dacromistic. That's the other one, I think.
He's got three answers.
It could be Dacromistic.
That's the other one.
I think that's what it is now.
The answer? Triton Shorestalker.
Yeah!
Oh, man! Just off topic. Now, that's not a bad card, is it? Like a one-drop 1/1 that can't be blocked? That feels good.
Again, similar to the Hypnotic Siren, in that it's just, if you have a deck that's built around loading up aggressive need one drops in that kind of deck.
Blue aggro deck.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the thing. I like playing aggro, but now I like playing blue-white decks. So this, two worlds colliding.
Yeah, so good. It doesn't take very much to stick a +2/+2
I lost multiple times to that 1/2 non-evasive for one Triton Shore Thief, which is like Ordeal of Perforate, or like Grenadilla. I just lose to that.
He graduated from being a Shore Thief to being a Shore Stalker.
It was because I had two toughness as well. I can't beat that.
All right, let's finish in a high, because I think both of you are very confident about this one.
Crucifix
hid the most dire prophecies about humankind, where humans would never find them and Tritons wouldn't care to read them. Aaron.
I think I know what it is.
Sigiled Starfish.
What it is. It is, because it's really a named starfish on the bottom of the ocean.
What answer are you going to submit?
Wait, it's Sigiled Starfish. I know it is. Now that you said it.
So what are you going to answer?
Sigiled Starfish.
Sigiled Starfish.
Nice.
The answer is Sigiled Starfish.
Yeah. I remember looking at that card and being happy with every part of it.
So Aaron, 3. Tarbo.
One.
And that's the first time, we said last time, that no one's ever implied the cheat off Aaron's answer.
Yeah,
and then Tarbo did
use
it.
Of it.
You're the first person to ever cheat, Tarbo. Well done.
He did realize.
Congratulations.
Just before I said it. Yeah. This is the first time I've gotten all of them, I think.
Well, you know everything about every card I've written, so I'm sure if we look back...
You haven't gotten three out of three, all of the other ones.
I'm sure if we look back through the flavor text, you've probably got 100% so far. I mean,
were you just making the guests feel good? You're just like, I won't get all of them because you just go home really sad.
I'm sure
otherwise.
We'll have a listener keeping stats at home.
Someone is doing
at the end of
somewhere.
The year, he'll write in and, and tell us Aaron versus guest.
Guess this one, Aaron. also, like, I've said something wanky like, oh, he's a lot of things had been fucking wrong. So wrong.
All right, green cards. Getting back onto this now. We're just reviewing the top five cards for use in draft from the Journey into Nyx set. So green cards. Well, first of all, we're looking at Eidolon of Blossoms. Now, I'm getting sick of these cards. Just, you know, just like, do something with your mana. Oh, come on. Let's just kill a flyer or something, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Eidolon of Blossoms is 2/2 green. He's rare, and he's a 2/2 because he's an enchantment creature spirit. He's got Constellation. Whenever Eidolon of Blossoms or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't one of the mana fixes, but it's like still
and the, what's it, the character, Sylvan character, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks similar.
Really similar to that, actually.
So 4/2/2, and when he's coming in or another enchantment, you get to draw a card. Draw a card's sweet, isn't it?
Draw a card's just so good.
And you've got so many enchantments floating around. Yeah. You're hopefully going to be triggering this a lot, but from turn four, draw a card, and then from then on,
you can do some seriously disgusting things with this.
Because the cards you want to play are like bestow creatures, which are enchantments, and constellation creatures, which are also enchantments.
Yeah. So because every creature with constellation is an enchantment itself as well. It just means once you start stacking triggers with their constellation thing and this guy, it's just going to get pretty hairy for your opponent.
Very silly. Seven cards in hand, seven cards on the field. Cool.
Yeah. sure.
We can fund that.
It's not as busted when he's only got like one because it's your rare, but like it's still very powerful.
And it can just die immediately.
2/2 is not impressive.
But 2/2 is not a very impressive creature. But the fact that if it does stick around, you're going to be overwhelming them very.
At the very least, it cantrips because it triggers itself, which is interesting.
It's the sort of creature you cast and just do nothing with, and it sits around as like it's just an enchantment.
Yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, it is a magnet for Magma Spray.
Yay. with its two toughness. So. All right, the second card is Hydra Broodmaster. He looks like a Play-Doh nightmare. looks like some sort of mess was left on the kindergarten floor at closing time.
It's like, Jimmy, you mixed the yellow and the green Play-Doh, and we're never going to get those two.
He's budgeted at 4/2 green, and he's rare. He's a Hydra. But he's a 7/7.
She's a broodmaster.
She's got lots of eggs.
They're a broodmaster.
Protecting his wife.
Well, you know, it could be like a penguin sort of thing. You know, where the male looks after the egg while the wife fucks off and enjoys herself at all the nightclubs in the Arctic Oceans, and he just stands there with his mates, just hating life. That's
just sitting on this fucking egg.
That's how I read, you know, when David Attenborough was talking. That's what I was hearing.
Yeah.
Really sad side note. I watched a documentary where a penguin was sitting on an egg for the whole period. It got off at the end and it was a rock. His egg had rolled away the whole time. It just didn't realize.
Yeah. We've all met guys like that.
It's the saddest thing, I swear.
The funniest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, so Hydra Broodmaster, we know, is a many-headed Hydra. It's a 7/7 for 6. It's got 4XX and a green. It's got Monstrosity X. So you do the maths on that. Goodness. When Hydra Broodmaster becomes monstrous, put XXX green Hydra creature tokens onto the battlefield.
Mm.
Now, what the fuck did I just say?
This is a way to spend a shitload of mana and immediately make an army. There was a card in Rise of the Eldrazi called Gelatinous Genesis, which did this, except it made XX oozes. So you pay XX green. So the X's have to be the same. This is something that people...
It talks like this. Can you imagine guys down at the pub just going, oh, and then X with the XX. I did this X, and then XX did the X.
Well, my X did my X.
Yeah.
And then that would be an interesting story, actually.
No, I'm imagining that video now.
That would be... Yeah, it would be great.
I'll have to get Toby in to shoot that.
Anyway. In the store? Oh, no. So, boiled down to it, you pay X and X, they have to be the same.
You pay an amount.
Yeah, it's going to be one and one and green. So three mana altogether to make... So what you do is you replace the X's with the number that you paid. So
makes it a lot easier.
One green Hydra. Very on exciting. Battlefield. You can see how this will get out of control when you pay two green, make two Hydras.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you have 9 mana and you make four Hydras, or 11 mana.
Even
and you make
7. Like if 7 you hit a land drop the turn after you play that, 3/3/3s, 9 power.
Yeah.
You're also left
plus
with like a 10/10.
7/7. Oh, 10. I forget 11 as well.
I think it's unreasonable.
So this nutcase would be an 11/11 by the time you're done with the monstrosity thing in his own right. You'd have 4/4/4s on the table and an 11/11
Hydra. I feel like it's like you spend a bunch of mana and if you monstrous it and you lose, you've done something like
you did something
really,
terribly,
really wrong. Yeah. Like,
well, it's
like
not like
extinguish
those...
your hope. It's like the other Hydras, which are great at exponential growth, but can always die to some sort of just straight up kill creature thing.
Yeah.
This guy has the opportunity to create a whole bunch. He's not just growing another head, he's growing another... He's
laying those
babies.
Eggs.
Little Hydra babies.
Babies are like, coming from everywhere.
Compare this to Hero's Bane, which is the stupid Hydra just above it there. Enters the battlefield with 4+1+1 counters.
It's not.
Yeah, and the pictures are not exactly... They always look the same. They're like, our heads are going in slightly different directions. Whoa! Look
why
how many
they
heads
work
we have
together. And anyway, do they ever all face the wrong way?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be terrifying.
Imagine being in a lecture theatre. They'd be like, look at the fucking board and listen to what he's saying. They'd be all off looking at everything. Oh, what's this,
going on
what's
here?
This air conditioning vent doing? Oh,
one of them's a really studious one that wears glasses and he's paying attention.
One of them's a lawyer. The other one's a village idiot. He knows everything about air conditioners.
I feel a Disney movie coming on. The Hydra and his many heads that have different personalities.
This is the ideas nucleus, so we come up with so many great ideas.
Oh, yeah, so much good stuff. Hero's Bane, what I'm trying to say is Hero's Bane sucks. Because you pump all this mana into it, and then they're like, yeah, cool. Bounce it to your hand. I'm talking about Hero's Bane being a bad Hydra, because you just pump all your...
As a comparison.
All the other Hydras are like this. You pump mana into them, they get bigger, and then they just get killed.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
one's like, if you get the monstrous off on this, you've won, because you make an army
of
large...
Wands.
Yeah.
Single 1/1.
All right. Woo! So moving on to the next card is Nessian Game Warden, who's a 3/2 green for a 4/5. And the picture's kind of like, it looks like an elephant with elephant man's disease.
It
sort of has a head of every animal you can think of.
Oh, is that what
it's
that
almost
is?
Like the artist. The artist who we're going to, Vincent Prose, just went, I really feel like just drawing like a shitload of animals. And they go, wait, just do it all on one card and we'll call it Nessian Game Warden.
Is this back half a tree? Is this like body a tree trunk?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's probably just, they have the tails of all of the animals' heads that he's got.
I love that little cow and that bear just hanging out.
Yeah,
by his
got
feet
left there. Out. Yeah.
I wanted to be part
was
of it.
Was I not good enough?
Yeah, came to hang out with my mate and haven't got a cow head or a bear head.
All my friends are stuck to that weird thing's face now.
And the bear would just be thinking, beef. That cow's like, shit, I'm mates with this guy. All right. Oh, he does things. So he's five mana for a 4/5. He's uncommon.
Just looks horrendous.
I'll just write my own card. When Nessian Game Warden enters the battlefield, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of forests you control. You may reveal a creature card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. All right, so are we happy with 5/4/5?
Yes, I think you are.
Because then the next bit is just... It's just kind of like, find me another creature, isn't it, that I can cast next go.
It's so gross.
Sorry, I just looked at a larger picture of the artwork, and it's just its legs are all of the other animal legs.
Yeah,
its tail is all these other animal tails. It's got like a tortoise shell, and that's disgusting. Sorry,
it'd be easy to feed. You know, like if you're a game warden, you're like, man, I've got to do laps around this place and like feed like 1,000 animals. No, just jam them all into one animal.
Yeah, because I assume they share a stomach, right?
Well, I don't know.
Ooh, I don't know. Based on all this other stuff, Dad.
Yeah, you just feed the goat head some hay, all of it is satiated.
It's like the game warden just went, I'm not walking around feeding everyone. I've got a tube of super glue.
Plug it up.
Problem solved. All right.
I like the ability.
Yeah,
I think it's exciting.
Good. It's draw, like,
Turf, your enchantments and your lands to the bottom. Pick your best creature. Yeah. That's in your hand, is it? Yeah. Reveal a stick in your hand.
So a reasonable thing. Play this on turn five. You got three forests out. Look at the top three. Draw a creature card from them. That's good by itself. And the fact it comes on a serviceable body.
Four or five
is big.
Even if you're looking for that creature and you don't get anything in the three, you've dug
some
deeper.
Shit on the bottom.
I mean, if you're looking for a land and you have to turf them to the bottom of your deck,
your library, you're pretty functional on five, right?
And then next round you draw a creature, you'd be like,
But you usually have a lot of creatures in those big green decks. So.
Yeah. Cool. I played a game the other day where I had a bunch of three power, like three fours, and my opponent was like, Nessian Game Warden, look at the top three. Draw another creature. I was like, oh, okay, at least he's not going to play that creature until next turn. Oh, wait, he's got a 4/5 now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just kind of, it does quite a lot for, and doesn't really ask much of
so
you.
So is that a first pick? Because, we've drawn it out to talk about it, and the top five cards for Limited, is it going to be the Windmill Slam?
It's not a Windmill
obviously
Slam.
Obviously depends what it's coming up against.
Yeah,
but
it's a solid second through fourth pick in draft.
It's kind of one in that deck, but I wouldn't build around it.
Exactly, It's going to go in every green deck. I think. Yeah. There's not a green deck that won't play it.
But will it make you decide to play green? Splash. It's going to be time.
Yeah.
Depends on when you see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of happy to have, but I wouldn't be like 100%
you already
need to
green
slam
it comes
like,
around.
Yeah, like when you would open like Nessie and ask, you'd be like,
yeah,
I'm playing green now.
Yeah.
I've splashed Nessie. <Fuck. laughs>
Oh, if you haven't committed to your second color, that comes around, you
think,
I might play green. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Cetesian Tactics, or Cetesian Tactics, is one in a green. He's a rare instant with Strive for one green. Until the end of turn, any number of target creatures each get +1/+1 and gain tap. This creature fights another target creature. Now that's vicious,
This card is stupid.
Strive for one.
Actually ridiculous.
I'm glad no one's cast it against me yet.
Man.
Two people have cast it against me. One time I hit my seventh land drop. My opponent had a bunch of middling creatures, 2/2, 3/3, and I had some flyers and I was getting in there and it looked like he was stuck on mana and he had an island and three forests out. And
That's the thing. You've got to cast a forest to Strive.
Which is good.
But he could use his island to do the one colorless.
Exactly.
For the original.
So they're deceptively color heavy once you get up to...
It's very color heavy. Yeah. You actually need... Like, you're not casting it on turn four every time.
No.
After playing a one drop, a two drop, and a three drop. It's just not really going to happen. But the blowout was so insane because I wasn't... I attacked with some flyers and whatever. And he just went, Cetesian Tactics, 4 mana, wiped my entire board of creatures.
Yeah.
And his...
Because you can pick who everyone fights against.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're all
that's
one
super
tougher.
Powerful.
It triggers heroic before the fight happens. They get +1/+1. Even if it was they all just gain tap fight target creature, it would be good. It's really pushed. It's going to...
Any number of target creatures, so that would trigger the heroic effects on them. So if they get, they're going to boost up in their own right as well.
It's so,
I do think the Strive cards are really powerful in that.
Very,
you get two.
Very good.
Yeah,
two heroic triggers for the one card.
Yeah,
two combat tricks for the one card. Mm-hmm. It scales the later the game goes. I really like that.
The fact that you can just cast this for 4 mana, target 3 things. Maybe one of them has heroic.
Yeah,
punch one of their dudes to death. Punch a utility creature to kill a crone.
Even trade
mastiff.
And then trade someone else.
Yeah,
it's like a boy sleeper almost.
Trade selectively. Like it's
and
so
weird
good.
Cases where you're like block Cetesian Tactics, fight your other dude, trade with this dude. Like it's a two for. Well, actually, it's a two for two. Whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe not as good as I thought, but like, you know, there's stuff you can do.
Like,
so when the Tritons sat down and did their tactics and the Cetesians sat down and did their tactics, who comes out
Triton
on top?
Tactics is also absurd.
Yeah,
I think Triton Tactics has so much text on it. Can't be bad.
It does so much silly stuff for one mana. I was like, how much more could you possibly do on an instant in a block with heroic and it surprises their attackers and it gives them more toughness?
I keep reading, I'm like, I would pay 1 mana for this and this one and this. Yeah. Oh, they're all in the same card.
You can use
even
it on
better.
Attack and defense. You can use it to give you guys vigilance. You can make the guys not on attack.
I still think Triton Tactics wins out because that card is very funny.
Really?
I think it's fun and it's just the amount of text that's jumped on
that. Conversation for another day. I've distracted you. The last green card we're going to look at is Spire Spine. He's 2 and a green for a 4/1. He's uncommon. He's an enchantment creature beast.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a bestow cost of 4 colorless and a green. And Spire Spine blocks each turn if able. Enchantment creature gets plus four, plus one, and blocks each turn if able.
Never read that card properly.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never seen a card with this exact text on it. Blocks each turn if able is very odd.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of that right now. What does that...
I've been using it as either a very, very good blocker, because it's going to trade with something with four toughness, or they can't attack with it. Or you play it as an aggressive three drop, and the blocks each turn if able thing is not relevant because you're attacking with it every turn that can't block.
Well, I mean, every turn. He's going to die immediately, isn't he? Hit something for four.
But he's decent to give flying to or give first strike. Like, he's good to bestow stuff.
I saw it cast within the blue-green flash deck for a card we're going to talk about later, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Where they cast it, untapped, put it on there. I was like, that is really scary. So I think it's very solid.
But it's a card that needs another card.
It is. Yeah.
Because for one... Yeah, you just spend three mana and you're just going to die against any shitty 2/2 that's just floating around. Traveling philosopher,
eye gouge. The reason that I put it in top five is because it closes games so quickly when you put it on a... imagine putting this on a Blade Tusk Boar. Red green, you're like Blade Tusk Boar. Next turn,
massive toughness.
Bestow Spire Spine on it.
Seven intimidate.
They're dead in two turns. Yeah. So I lived the dream and put it on my good friend Wingsteed Rider, and it helped carry me to
glorious days.
The top eight of an event. Awesome.
It just worries me about that. You need another card. You know, it's not something.
Yeah.
You know, we're reviewing like cards, like top five cards. Mm. It's like, so I pick it early, but if I don't get the card, it's just I'm looking at it as I'm building my deck.
The card is like another creature. It needs another creature.
Yeah. Pretty much.
With reasonable toughness.
That doesn't have vigilance because I wanted to put it on my 2/1 flying vigilance thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, it would have to block his 2/2. So I could not do that.
But you think of what you bestow for your five cost bestow cards. Mm-hmm. You know, you're happy when you're bestowing them. This one you sort of got. That's that drawback thing.
Yeah,
isn't
of
it,
course.
Really?
Yeah, I never actually read that text on it. I thought it was just a 4/1.
It's a very, very interesting card. But I'm worried that they made these drawbacks all not drawbacks because you'll just put them in aggressive decks.
So it's not so relevant.
And so it's not really a choice between them. You're always just going to put them on your creatures, and they'll have some tiny drawback comes up every now and then.
I'm not sold, but you know, it's one of those that'll come down to play, and it'll be exciting to see it work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, multicolor cards. Starting with Ajani. He's an easy one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ajani, Mentor of Heroes. He's a planeswalker and mythic rare, of course. He's three colorless, a green and a white. He's got 2+1/+1. Tribute token.
That's it. That's the end of the text. You've got 2+1/+1.
Yeah. But he comes in with 4 loyalty. So the first plus one is distribute 3+1/+1 counters among 1, 2, or 3 target creatures you control. His other plus one is look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal an aura creature or planeswalker card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. And then there's this small point.
And then
at the
whatever,
end. That's pretty much all he does, right?
His -8. His ultimate is just you just gain 100 life.
That's all. Yeah.
If you needed, some extra life gains.
I really needed all that life.
So you play him. He's 4. You immediately plus 1 him. He's 5. You're 3 rounds away from 3 turns away from having 100
life. Getting 100 life, and that means you win the game, right? You win the game when you have 100 life.
Yeah, I think that's a rule.
Yeah, let's make it a rule.
Yeah,
sure.
They just make them that rule. M15 is like, oh, if you have 100 or more life, you win the game.
If you gain 100 life.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe you can take it as I know what you've just done there is going to make me like -660, but in 2 rounds, I'll have 100 life coming my way. So if we can just trade off.
Can we just.
I'll just get rid of a Johnny now and let's call it 40.
I owe you 60 life for when I gain it in a bit.
Let's just do that now and forget about all this other bullshit.
Cool. This guy's terrifying and limited.
He's crazy.
Limited. I mean,
in limited, it's just going to stomp all
everybody's
over.
Getting +1/+1 counts.
Load them all up on an evasive guy, spread them out over your team. They kill all your guys.
Make your 2/2 into a 5/5.
That's so stupid.
Compared to that constructed, you're not like, you don't have all these ramp creatures to play him, and you're like, tap out for my Johnny, and like, you can't block him. You're going to be like, I have this random 2-3 for 3 that is now a 4-6. Like,
it's not really big. That wasn't right. You've got 3+1+1 counters, but they have to be all on different things.
Yeah.
This is always like, oh, but he got one guy out. I'll just dump it all on him.
make a 6-6 on my, that used to be a Nessie Enforcer. Oh, 6-6 hit you for 6.
Yeah. And it is +1 to impulse for planeswalkers, creatures, or auras is just also ridiculous.
I was saying Nessie and Game Warden was good because sometimes you draw a card. With Ajani, you're always going to draw a card, and it's always going to be a good one.
Yeah, and
it is
it's sort of
not just enchantments, which is
That's true.
And he's sort of building his own wall because people are going to hit this card. You know, if you've got a creature out and you can dump 3 on it, this goes, well, you're appointed to defend Johnny from those fuckers over there. Johnny's going to kill you. So, yeah.
Really tough.
Mentos of Heroes, indeed.
Fleet Feather Cockatrice. Fleet Feather Cockatrice, one of the weirdest. Sort of arrivals of Death Touch when we talked about this about the spoilers.
Death Touch is a green ability, right? I was like,
it is.
It is. It's the green, but it's kind of like there's blue on this card. It's got Death Touch. It's like, it depends where you're focusing, really, as to how weird you want to feel.
Flash is mainly blue. Flying is blue.
Yeah, green can get flash creatures.
Yeah,
Wolf
Fist. Yeah.
It's glory hole material. You know, you poke it through, you get a blow job, and you're going, I don't know who's on the other side.
Oh, and like, I feel a bit funny about this.
Is it a cockatrice? it feels good, but I don't know.
It's got death touch though. They just kind of die and shrivel up. Like, is that?
Anyway, we've gone into weird ground.
Weird territory.
I'd just like to make a statement on behalf of Sevenland. None of us, as far as I know, glory hole.
We don't know.
We don't.
Especially not with cockatrices.
Or fleet feathers. Okay, he's uncommon, which is as well about glory. No, I forget about glory hole. You don't find him everywhere.
When you do find him, hold on to them.
He's a creature, and his creature type is cockatrice. If you want to go tribal, just stick around for
cockatrice
a few
tribes. Of course.
Yeah, you might be waiting on a commander tribal. Tribal
I mean, they
cockatrice.
Got there with the minotaurs.
Legendary creature. There's no legendary creature minotaur.
True.
Mogus isn't even one.
All right, keeping it snappy. And I'm talking shite over here. Right, so he's a 5-mana for a 3/3. He's got flash, and he's got flying, and he's got death touch. And you can monstrosity 3 him for 5, a forest, and a blue. And an island, I should say. So, and that's just straight up. There's no sort of when he becomes monstrous, magic happens. It's just making 3 tougher, making him a
6/6.
Six flying death touches, that's a thing.
It's like they mashed a heap of awesome cards together.
Yeah.
Because this can do so much. I've played limited formats where I've played Winged Coatl. Was the first time they tried to do something like this. It was a card in Alara Reborn. It was the same, but for 1 green blue, 1/1 flash flying death touch.
Oh, wow.
And you could flash it in and just kill something.
Like Green Doomblade card.
Yeah, Deadly Recluse. It's like, but this one's just like, at 5 mana in limited, this one's going to come down and block something huge that you need to get rid of because you're going to death touch it.
Yeah, death touch is a defensive. I mean, that was one of the early things. Like, death touch is a defensive play, isn't it? It's not something you're waiting in and trying it. You can't attack something in particular.
Yeah, unless it has trample.
You can block something in particular.
So you can block some big thing that you need to block with flash, so they attack with their big bestowed up dude. You block it with death touch, it's suddenly a lot easier to deal with. But also you can just, they attack with a bunch of 2-power guys, you flash this in and block something, and then you've got a 3-power flying creature. And then eventually it's going to turn into a giant dragon when you pay 7 mana, hit them for 6 flying every turn. I think it just does everything you want it to do.
Yeah, very versatile, very powerful.
Yeah.
But flashing in something that's that expensive, you hold it back to 5 mana, just you're fine with that?
Yeah, I've paid 5 mana for 3/3s with flying to close out games in the past.
It's the flash thing I was worried about, to hold on to that much mana into their go.
Yeah, it just means that
you're playing blue, so you could be up to all sorts of stuff.
There is like a green-blue like flash deck. There's a lot of good instant green and blue cards. Because there's the 4-mana 3/2 flash, the Horizon Chimera,
Yeah, wow.
And there's like things like, and that means you can, you might be able to, I don't know, I haven't done this, like play like some counter spells in limited, things like that. Yeah. Like
it makes counter spells a lot better because you never have those awkward turns where you hold up dissolve creature, and they don't have anything to play on turn five and you just took a turn off for no reason.
So, but the multicolor card, you know, they're always weird to first pick. I mean, that's these, I mean, Johnny, forget about it, but you know, Fleet Feather Cockatrice, you're going to say, I'm going to take it and then I'm going to be looking for,
I was drafting the only non-aggressive deck I've drafted in this format so far. I did okay with it. Was like a control deck, and it used Fleet Feather Cockatrice as like a kill condition, and I splashed for Fleet Feather Cockatrice
because I splashed in green,
So I played blue.
You'd already be feeling, when you play blue a lot. So this comes across your path. You're going, oh, I'm just going to put a bit of green in. I'm going to find myself some green mana.
I've seen effects like this in the past and how powerful they can be, and the fact that you can just win the game when you monstrosity it and they can't do much about it. So I splashed it in a blue black control deck. And then eventually I had enough ways to grind the game out long enough. I'm just going to kill him when I draw my forest and my cockatrice.
I mean, playing if you're playing solid green deck, you know, can you splash in the blue and leave five mana lying around again? Makes me nervous, man. Makes me nervous.
There's a lot of good ways to splash, and this is a very powerful card to splash in base green decks.
I suppose you hold that much mana back, the moment doesn't arrive where you can do something really painful. You just buy it and flash it in at the end of that go. And there he is. And you're attacking with him on your go.
Exactly. So,
All right. Aroas, God of Victory. He's 2, a red and a white. What's
that? Well, I was just going to say, we don't need to say much about this dude. He's fucking stupid. It's really dumb.
Well, it says God of Victory. I mean, so if he doesn't win.
God of difficult and skill testing wins.
All right. Aroa's God of Victory. He's a mythic rare for 2, a red and a white. He's 7/4, so he comes in. He's not a heavy hitter.
Not at all.
I thought he was just an enchantment, honestly.
He's bigger than a field and some trees and clouds and shit.
And very happy about it.
Yeah, and someone's fitted him out with a nice skirt.
He looks so silly.
He's a legendary enchantment creature god. He's the red white god that we were missing. So he's indestructible, and as long as he's the devotion is less than 7, he's not a creature either. Creatures you control can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to attacking creatures you control. So he blocks and he attacks. Creatures you control can't be... Oh, no. Creatures you control can't be blocked except by 2 or more.
Yeah.
So what you want to be doing with this guy is attack.
Yeah.
So you attack with your... I'm always talking about 2/2s and 3/3s because that's all you
that's
really
your
see.
That's red-white Boris vibe, isn't it? It's like I've got a fistful of... 2/2s.
Just, I'm going to beat you to death with them. Can you deal with it?
Yeah.
It just means that they can't stabilize with blockers how they usually would, because you have 3 attacking creatures. If they have 2 good blockers, this means
they've
got to jump on one guy. Yeah. It's not even going to kill it. The other 2 are getting through. They've got to find a way to deal with this, because it means that every attacker that you have needs to be dealt with by 2 permanents.
And the one guy that had 2 guys jump on him, nothing happens to him.
Yeah. He's alive, and you can kill one of their guys, because it only prevents the damage that will be dealt to it.
Yeah. All right, so if someone comes up to me tomorrow and says, I want to play Magic and I want to win, I'll just play that card and you've won.
Yeah.
Because he's just got draft a victory.
Yeah.
Just draft it.
Yeah.
Just draft
it. If you could...
Force it.
If you could... force Aroas every time.
Yeah. Because I always read in Limited those cards as the enchantment side, because it's very... Especially 7 is very difficult to get to.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good enchantment. Yeah. It's a lot better than Gruul Warchant. Like, my first reaction when I read it, I was like... Cool watch out. Yeah, that card was not particularly good.
Because the red white deck's not looking to get to 7 mana and still be
7.
Like,
or 7 permanents.
I haven't seen anyone, except with a very dedicated control deck, turn on any of the 7. Any of the multicolored gods.
Because you've won it, or you're about to lose it by then, aren't you?
Yeah, so it's just...
And if you're not trading creatures off, or they're not getting killed, how have you not won that game already?
Yeah.
But if you ever do turn on a Aroas, it's a 7/4 that can only be blocked by 2 creatures. What?
And they won't die as well.
He's just going to kill things off, basically, as you go.
Seems pretty silly.
Keranos, God of Storms. 3, an island and a mountain for him. He's another legendary enchantment creature, God. Mythic rare. He's 6/5. He's indestructible. You can't be turned on as a creature until your devotion is 7. His ability is reveal the first card you draw on each of your turns. Whenever you reveal a land card this way, draw a card. Whenever you reveal a non-land card this way, Keranos deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
Lightning bolts for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, I draw a lightning bolt. Oh, I'll lightning bolt something without paying any mana. He's, again, don't think of it as a creature that you can turn on with any great...
Regularity.
No. I think even if it was just a 5-mana enchantment that did this, it would be insane. Limited. You can... So you play it on turn 5. Granted, it doesn't do anything, doesn't affect the board as soon as it comes down. But as soon as it gets to your turn, you're drawing an extra card if, unfortunately, you draw a land. But it's less likely to be a land the second card that you draw. But if not, you're dealing 3 damage to either their face or killing off their creatures every turn that you take for the rest of the game. So I don't see how you don't win with this out for a few turns. 4 or 5 turns with this guy out, you've just... got the game very well.
Seems okay.
Yeah.
All right, Nyx Weaver. He's a spider. He's 1 colorless, a swamp, and a forest. He's an enchantment creature spider. He's uncommon. He's a 2/3, and he's got reach. At the beginning of your upkeep, put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. And his ability is for 1 colorless, a swamp, and a forest. Exile Nyx Weaver. Return target card from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah, now this guy, again...
Graveyard cards.
Just does a lot. It's kind of... It can fuel a graveyard strategy kind of by itself. And I was skeptical about this card until someone played it against me. I was playing Flyers, as I usually do. And he plays a 2/3 with reach on turn 3. I'm like, that's annoying.
Yeah, that's hard for a flying deck.
Yeah. And so I was like, it's going to take me a little while to get past that. And so his upkeep, he's putting two cards into the graveyard. And then eventually some turns go by. I can't attack past it still. We're both playing some other stuff. And then end of turn, he just exiles Nyx Weaver, gets back a sweet removal spell from his graveyard that he milled there with the spider.
Exactly.
Kills one of my other things and wins the game off the back.
Exactly.
The fact that this can stabilize the board for you and eventually draw one of the best cards in your deck, maybe you've already used it. It doesn't even have to have been put there by itself. I first picked this in that weird black-green control deck. I splashed blue in it. I didn't splash green in it. Yeah.
Okay.
I first picked this because I was like, this tends to be a good control card. You in control decks and limited, you want good blockers that have utility in the late game. If you draw this late, 6 mana to get the best card from your graveyard back.
And it helps you find that best card in that situation as well.
Yeah. I'm always cautious. I always feel cautious about getting lots of graveyard play cards, especially early on. Like, you know, first picking this, I'm thinking, I need to back it up with other graveyard interacting cards.
Do people take the... Because they really do push a green-black graveyard deck with a few cards, right?
Yeah, like
the Great Robber Spider or whatever it is. Like, the returned creatures and things like that. So... I don't know how people pick those, but
I had,
that's something that's there.
The only 2 graveyard things I had were Grave Robber Spider and this.
Okay.
The fact that I never had them both out at the same time.
Yeah,
the
so fact that they're fine on their own.
Both of them are good by themselves.
Yeah.
And stuff like Nemesis of Mortals. If you've ever cast Nemesis of Mortals on like turn 4.
Kind of upsetting.
Just because you traded like some turn 2s and then you're like 5.
You play normal magic.
Yeah. You play normal magic, get a 5/5 on turn 4 and then a 10/10 whenever you want later. Nyx Weaver is another one like that. Works perfectly well by itself and has got this amazing upside of... being really good as the game goes on.
And how does that dude not have Death Touch? I mean, look at him.
Yeah, he's a fucking giant.
He's a spider for crying out loud.
Oh, it's because he's the size of a 50-cent coin. it's hard to tell from...
Oh, aren't they really poisonous, really tiny spiders?
Man? Oh, yeah, he's like a red bat.
Those are the scariest ones.
Yeah. Artist Jack Wang. Jack Wang.
It's no... Oh, what's that?
An easy name to get through high school. It's like,
Jack Wang.
Jack Wang. So the last card we're going to look at is an artifact, and it's Hall of Triumph. It's 3 colorless. It's a rare legendary artifact. As Hall of Triumph enters the battlefield, choose a color. Creatures you control of the chosen color get +1/+1.
Legendary part of this... let me... say first, there are 5 artifacts in the set, but I didn't want to do top 5 because most of them are pretty whatever.
There are only 5.
They're all playable. This is the only one that excites me. Hall of Triumph can go in pretty much any deck. Say you're playing white or blue, as you're prone to do in limited.
And if then your name some is Aaron do Graham.
Every draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very easy to get a very impactful...
I dropped the pen that time.
Oh, David, so disappointing.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, so Hall of Triumph comes down and immediately buffs all your team. It throws combat math, what previously combat math would have
what
been...
What they were banking on.
What they were banking on, their blocks being good, and you're just like, Hall of Triumph. And it just goes very well in decks, aggressive decks already. For 3 mana, it comes down and gives permanent boost to everything. And the fact that you can just play it in any deck and choose the color as it comes into play
that
means
seems
that
really good. Yeah. It's very versatile.
Yeah, and you're always going to be able to adapt it to whatever else is in your hand and whatever else you've already played. So yeah, it's just a powerful effect, and it costs 3 colors mana. Yeah. It doesn't cost very much at all. Yeah.
I feel like you might want to prioritize picking creatures of a certain color as well. So like
be more
being
like
heavier on
11/6 deck.
So maybe
like you've got your blue control-y spells, but then you've got your
white aggressive creatures. Exactly. Yeah, like something like that might make that cut. Make that cut even better. I don't know for doing that for a single card, but
yeah, I'd first pick it because it's just
happy accident. If you see it falling that way, you can skew your deck that way, couldn't you?
Yeah. And if you got a choice between a white thing and a blue thing, you already have a bunch of white things. Take the fucking white thing. Yeah,
of course.
MTG card quiz 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I need more lyrics for that because the
MTG card quiz 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Watch Aaron crush his opponents.
Because he knows everything about every card.
Yeah.
Damn.
I never said that.
No, again, he definitely.
I've never.
Did. You did.
I walk into the store and he's like, hi, I still know everything about the cards.
He can remember everything about every card ever, but he can't remember saying that every day.
I know. It's because he knows too much about the cards. It's he doesn't have short-term memory.
Hey, Tarbo, let's do a podcast. I know everything about every card ever.
Do you remember that time you said that?
No.
I never
said that. It just happened then. You just fucking said it. That's amazing. I'm sure if you rewound through most of our podcasts, there'd be a moment where you actually said it.
Mm. Oh, yeah, like it's been cut out of my brain.
Yeah,
brain is.
It's like one of those movies.
One of the movies.
Yeah, you know when you go to the cinema and they show you stuff. It's one of them. All right, here we go. MTG card. This is straight up easy done, right? Oh, did I tell you what the theme was for?
What was it?
Flavor Text. It was so simple. It was
blue cards.
Blue Journey. It was just blue.
Yeah, that's close. Blue cards.
Blue Journey.
Blue cards from Journey of the Nyx.
Cool. Loved
it. Yeah, dead easy. Nice and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is this got a theme? Ooh, it does. It's the you quiz.
The quiz all
of
about
you. Yeah, it's a quiz all about you. That's you, listener. Yeah,
I'm talking to you.
Feel like you've just tuned in to one of those late night romantic find a partner type of channels.
You.
This is about you. All right.
I don't know how this works, by the way.
Cosmo quiz.
Oh, I've got an example. So just to bring up the speed, Tarbo, how we work this is I've got an example. So the example question, that I might ask is, what is the dick taste of Heliod? And would you say caramel vanilla? Of course,
it's caramel white. Vanilla.
But that would be the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, you got that. So that's the kind of thing. That's how we're going to roll it out.
It's like MTG. Facts.
MTG facts.
Yeah, cool.
I like that because they get straight to the point. People can learn things from this as well.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
The other week we learned how much a Magic card weighed and we found out my perception of a gram is not good. I was like, 0.3 of a gram.
Of an elephant.
He's like, it's 2 grams.
I
don't know what a gram is.
It's in your name, Aaron Graham, right?
That's not...
All right. All right, here we go. Pen's ready. This is MTG card quiz number 6. Question number 1.
Six.
All right, this one's a bit of a listener and a thinker.
Ooh.
Your opponent has Aegis of the Gods.
Mm-hmm.
Or Aegis.
I don't know what that card is.
Your opponent has 2-1. You have
Hexproof. Whoa. Your opponent has Aegis of the Gods on the battlefield.
I do know that card.
You play Agent of Erebos. What happens as a result of the card you just played?
I just don't know what Agent of Erebos is.
That's why it's an MTG card quiz.
What these cards do.
You do.
It's like an open book test where it's like the answers are in the book.
Yeah, you read the card and then you go, all right, I just played this card. What happens? See how people at home can learn? So your opponent has Aegis of the Gods. On the battlefield, you play Agent of Erebos. What happens as a result of the card you just played?
When I told Tabo he was coming in for the podcast, I could have told him to do some research, but I chose not to so that I could win.
It's difficult to study up because I equally could have chosen something from several sets ago. Or you can study up on every card ever made.
We should
start telling guests to study up on every card.
He's like, Converted Manicos of Apocalypse Rares. We're like, ooh, three?
You should definitely have like a 96 Magic metagame quiz. Yeah. Like, we start with that. How many copies of Black Vise?
Okay, listeners at home, if you get the answer to this, write in and let us know. Mm-hmm. And tell us how. Okay, so question number two. The MTG card set contains 165 cards.
Mm.
How many cards are in each subset of rarity? So how many commons, how many uncommons, how many rares, how many mythic rares? The Fat Pack book has to stay closed.
Oh, is this Jesus. Like is this like the whoever gets about, closest?
Yeah, I think we could go by closest, and I'll give you a point for each set, and then there's like a ton of points getting handed out, and you can get back from your shameful score of 3-1 at the moment. It's 3-1. I'll let you do some adding up. So we have to how many cards in common, how many cards in uncommon, how many cards in rare, and how many cards in mythic rare. You can probably work it out. I'd say work backwards, maybe.
No, I honestly don't. If I don't know either way, I have an okay idea, I think. Maybe.
All right. So a few cards to throw around.
165 total.
165
right?
cards in total.
Man.
All right. Let's have a stab.
That seems about right.
Sure. 165 is bang on. I can promise you that right now.
That seems about right. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Or are we talking? Are we including the God packs? Because you can get cards from other sets in your Journey into Nyx packs.
No, Journey. This is
just
the set.
Just
165. Is that what my thing has? That's probably the hardest bit adding to 165 right now. Honestly.
Yeah. So we're looking for four figures, and they'll all add up to 165.
Well, I'll do three, and we can do the math later.
All right. So question number three. How many cards in the U set have the Defender keyword? And names?
Because there's a couple that should have, well, you think would have Defender,
many,
and they don't.
How many cards in the U set have the Defender keyword? And what are their names? And their names. Extra points. You can take a stab at the number. Stab at the name.
That's a rough one.
That's what we're here for. I think we've all come here for a rough time. The listeners have.
I can't think of any.
Really?
Well, I can think of zero. Do you get a point per...
Yeah. So the point, the number, and a point for every name.
Is the answer just zero? Is that the trick question? It's just none?
We're in the question part of the quiz at the moment. Because to give you the answers right now, it would seem ridiculous, I'd imagine. Here's a question followed by several answers. All of the answers are correct. And takes the fun out of it, doesn't it? All right.
No, stumped.
Pulling faces. Okay, so we'll go back. Are we gonna do the guest answers first immediately?
Yeah,
okay. Let's do that.
Let's try it out.
All right. Throwing it over. So what flavor is the Dick Taste of Heliod?
Oh.
Caramel.
Yeah, probably.
Caramel vanilla was the answer.
Caramel vanilla.
Oh. Caramel vanilla.
You told us that, right?
Yeah, that wasn't actually part of the quiz. I was just seeing if you were listening.
Is ambrosia, the nectar of the gods.
Question one was, your opponent has Aegis of the Gods on the battlefield. You play Agent of Erebos. What happens as a result of the card you just played?
So I don't know what Agent of Erebos does, but based on the question, I figure you must target yourself. Is that the correct answer?
Okay, well, let's go over to... That's a complete answer there.
That's half of an answer. You have to target yourself and exile your own graveyard, I think. Agent of Erebos is that graveyard hate, 2-2 for 4.
And that is a heroic graveyard hate.
The constellation is mandatory. You are the only legal target because your opponent has hexproof. You must target yourself and exile all the cards from your own graveyard.
Yeah.
So you got
my Graveyard Spider gets so bad.
So what does Tabo get?
Tabo gets half a point.
Half a point for that. I definitely could have answered that question if I knew what that card did.
Oh yeah,
that is the whole idea of MTG card quiz. I think you're right.
I definitely would have answered that if I knew the answer.
Yeah, I found that with most exams of being. And lecturers seem to be pretty like unforgiving when I go in and I go,
I
look,
I
know the answer to that if I'd
known it.
Studied
and read it.
Come on, that's so mean. Okay, here we go. Numbers. Okay. Tabo, you're good with numbers. The UMTG card set has 165 cards. How many cards are in each subset? So we'll take them one at a time. Okay, so you've got, so common. How many do you reckon? Yeah, come on.
Sorry, I just have to do some math. I didn't write down the number for commons.
All right, well, tell us in mythic.
I got six mythics.
Six mythics.
One for each color and a Johnny.
All right. And then and then rare cards?
I said 19.
19.
Like maybe two for each color.
Okay. Uncommon?
Oh, wow. No, that doesn't even matter. I'm going to say maybe 22. I said 19 because it adds up nicely.
Okay, 19.
And I had like 55 uncommons. We'll
55 uncommons?
Yeah, and then the rest are commons. So.
And you... going to get back
go
to
for
the answer.
Wow, you've got it written down.
85.
Yeah. Sure.
85.
That seems good.
Sure.
All right, Aaron, what order are we going to go in? Commons or from Mythic Rare?
The one I know is Mythics. There's 10 or 11.
No.
I'll say 10.
The one that I know
totally
is
wrong.
10 or 11.
10 or 11.
Yeah. So what are you going to go with?
10.5. 10. Okay, 10. 10.
Because
you can go 10.5 and you're just definitely wrong.
Like, yeah. 10.5.
But we're going for closest, and if it's an even split, I'll just throw a point either way.
Okay.
Rare.
25?
25.
I don't know.
Uncommons?
60? That seems like a lot
60.
Now.
60. And commons?
And 70 commons.
70 commons.
Yeah.
No, that's... Yeah, 60
that
uncommons versus
bad.
70 commons.
Does that
yeah.
all add up? No, okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
I honestly don't know. This is these are the things
like
I don't pay
lot.
Attention to. So.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready? Here we go. For commons, like Aaron answered 70. Tabo answered 85. The answer was 60. So that's a point to Aaron.
60 commons?
There's 60 commons.
Oh, there must be a lot of rares.
Yeah.
There must be like
there
40
are.
Rares.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense. That
uncommons.
Makes sense.
I keep looking at these cards and I'm like, is that really
uncommons.
A rare?
Aaron answered 60. Tabo answered 55. The answer was 60 on the nose.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Nice.
Look at that. Yeah.
Tabo scored
got the
complete guess. Rares. Aaron answered 25. Tabo answered 19.
I'm
going to
re-guess. It's
going to
be like 40.
It's 35.
Oh. 35.
So Aaron gets the points for that one.
Yes.
And for Mythic Rares, on the nose, 10. There was 10 exactly.
Yeah.
So Aaron wins again. He guessed 10 and Tabo guessed 6.
Gonna have a wank now. Five gods. Godsend. Sage of Hours.
Wait, five gods?
Yeah, the five multicolored gods are all mythic.
Are there five gods?
There's five gods.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Enemy colored
yeah,
god.
True.
Godsend, Sage of Hours, Prophetic Flame.
Oh, man,
Seeker,
that's a massive, massive fail on Tabo. Let's just
Johnny
dwell
and...
on this.
All
there's
right.
five gods and they're all mythic rares. And he gets 6. So one color was a Johnny.
It's a Johnny.
Yeah. And all those mythic rares in the other colors.
No, because my thing was, all the colored mythic rares and a Johnny. Awesome.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Just forgot that those gods are real cards. Whatever.
What's the back one?
I don't know. Because
it's worse fears.
Oh, Mindslaver.
That's the 10.
There's 5.
Okay.
The five, instead of the green color. Mythic is a Johnny. He replaces the green mythic.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Gotcha. All right, so at the moment, this is a score check to see what Tabo's got to do in the last question here. Aaron's on 8.
Winner takes all. Last question, winner takes all.
Tabo's on 1.5.
All right, that's how it works, right? Last question, winner takes all.
It doesn't usually work that way.
Oh, well, okay.
have you watched quiz shows before?
Don't worry, you could completely redeem yourself because there's many points to be gained in this last question.
Yeah.
How many, Tabo, this is over to you first. How many cards in the U set have the Defender keyword and what are their names? So, how many cards?
I know, well, Sigil Starfish is one.
Don't try and read me like a book.
Okay.
Don't tell me which ones they are. Just, so you're going for how many? What's the number? How many defender cards?
I want to say two.
Two?
Because I know one and I feel like there's a card I don't know.
All right. You're saying one of them is Sigil Starfish and the other one you're just going to go, it's a card.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's like, a bunch of them should, but they don't.
Right. Aaron, over
to you. I'm going to take a gamble and say zero now. I wrote down two, but I'm going to say zero.
You're going to say zero. And what is the name of no cards?
Well, no. Sigild Starfish and Nyx Fleece Ram both don't have Defender.
Sigild Starfish doesn't have Defender.
Neither of them do.
Doesn't it?
Because I remember seeing someone put an enchantment and go to town with it. And I was like, whoa, Sigild Starfish, you do everything. It doesn't have Defender.
All right. Is the answer zero then? Because that's the original one I had, but I was like...
The answer is zero. Yeah. Oh, it's right here. It's right here. Yeah, I was like, two.
Oh, man. Oh, well, let's have a score check. Score check. Aaron is on 9 and Tarbo right behind him on 1.5.
As you can see, I pay attention to the important things in Magic. Like Magic, the names of cards and how to play the game.
And how many mythics are in the set.
Welcome to MTG Card Quiz, Tarbo. I'm sure you'll study up for next time.
Of course.
As we've learned, Aaron knows everything about every card ever printed, even the new
ones.
True. All right, we're talking about Journey into Nyx. To finish off now, talking about standard and constructed implications. Got 7-ish cards here just to talk about. Starting with Banishing Light, how does it play in an environment with Detention Sphere, the all-conquering Detention Sphere?
Yeah, so we had this before when Oblivion Ring was in M13?
Yeah, you could play both.
For a few months. And Oblivion Ring could answer Detention Sphere, and Detention Sphere could exile Oblivion Ring.
Get it back your Detention Sphere.
Yeah. Oblivion Ring disappeared.
Yeah, and it would be under the thing, but then if you played an Oblivion Ring on that one, you'd get...
I mean, it disappeared from the set, didn't it? Because it was
They didn't print it because, I don't know, I think it would have been...
They wanted Detention Sphere to be totally
awesome. Detention Sphere to be in focus. And now it's like Banishing Light's back. It's almost exactly the same as Oblivion Ring with less shenanigans. Mm. I don't know, like, what do you... Say, Esper Control, they play 4 Detention Sphere every time.
Yeah. Do you think now with Banishing Light? Or you mean previously?
Well, that's what I was saying.
Previously they did.
Now what do you do? Because like they get answered by the other.
And
one's not... Detention Sphere can be better.
But also I think the appeal is Banishing Light can answer Detention Sphere, where Detention Sphere couldn't answer Detention Sphere.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
One is, depending what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people still get caught out by 2-4-ing themselves with Detention Sphere.
But it's not like you can play your hands and be like, oh, I'm not gonna have an aggressive start with these two creatures that are the same because he might have a Detention Sphere.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a bit odd because I'm not sure where the focus between the two is more important, that sort of thing. We're going to have Banishing Light a lot longer than we're going to have Detention Sphere.
Yeah.
I assume they're not going to put it...
Detention Sphere...
No, they wouldn't put it in the...
No,
not in the core set.
Of course
it's
not.
No, it's an Azorius card, I guess. We're never going to see Detention Sphere in Standard again.
Big calls.
Yeah, well, Banishing Light, I think, is going to be their staple. It could be an uncommon in the core set, which is where Oblivion Ring was before.
Sure.
So, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Banishing Light's going to be around a lot longer than Detention Sphere.
I think it's just interesting. They just are the very, very, very similar... just one has slight advantages over the other, so
yeah.
I mean, it might go back and forth just depending on what you need in your deck. So
is it a liability with cards like Deicide around?
Yeah, like
Abrupt Decay.
Oh, Abrupt Decay is so good.
I know.
We're talking about it being a liability in Limited. In Constructed, it's going to be like everyone's got a couple of Deicides in their main deck or in their sideboard.
In your 75, decks want to play 4 Abrupt Decay because it's just really good, like, all the time.
Yeah,
so.
These Esper decks are going to be playing, like, 6 3 mana, exile something tricks, and you can just get them back at instant speed. Yeah. It's very, very, very good,
Keening Apparition has become good. Yes.
So cards that aren't defenders but are walls and gain you life, such as Nyx Fleece Ram, is going to stick around because he's just a big hunk of sheep, and gain you 1 life, and he's a big wall of 5 toughness. Does this mean that aggressive decks are going to struggle or are dead?
They were already pretty dead.
Because
all the 2-drops were better than the 1-drops, and all the 4-drops are better than the 3-drops.
Yeah.
So you try and play...
Sheep are going to rain.
Yeah. You play a 2-1, they play an 0-3, or they play a 1-4, and you're like, well, this sucks, or a 2-2 with first strike. Like, this is very tough for them anyway.
There's so many resilient ways to defend yourself. And Nyx Voice Ram is a very, very good way to defend yourself until you play more things to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Like Elspeth or Jace.
Mm. I saw playing two just Nyx Voice Rams. I was playing some block constructed against like a green-red deck.
Mm-hmm.
Their Stormwrath Dragons were abysmal. They were dealing, like, they deal two damage a turn effectively, like a Stormwrath Dragon against the two Nyx Voice Rams. Even though they're not blocking,
two.
Right?
Yeah, fuck.
Like, they don't even have to block to. Like, they don't even have to block to be very good at stimming aggressive
and
strategies,
it's an odd,
right?
Like, they push this card a lot as if to curb aggressive decks, but aggressive decks were struggling anyway. Like, if anyone opens with a 2/1 for one, I'm like, good. I don't care.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
Much about that. Yeah. And it just means cards like Precinct Captain. Will just can't be played
get
anymore.
Even worse than they already are.
Because every slower, non-aggressive white deck is going to have Nyx Voice Ram and 3-drop exile spells. It's just like,
really
what
tough.
Can you do?
Yeah. So it's when standard, the dictates of Krufix, everyone knows is Raspberry Lemonade.
It's a mystery.
just a
nobody
lazy,
knows.
Lazy painting by Darken. we've covered that. Yeah. So is this card playable in standard?
I it's a lot of
Tarbo
fun.
Tarbo firmly believes
it's a lot of fun.
Make your case.
Yeah,
Ever since I saw Todd Anderson hold a Dissolve in his hand, not have to cast it, then untap and draw two cards, I was sold. Especially because in you can play it in a Sphinx's Rev deck. Mm-hmm. So even though you're both drawing more cards, your cards are just generally more powerful and it doesn't matter how many creatures they've got. Your Supreme Verdict doesn't care about that. You cast your Sphinx's Rev, you get so far ahead that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just cast Fogs for the rest of the game
and
win that way, which
is
also
fun. And you're not playing Fogs, so shut up and get out.
There's a lot of fun things you can do with that card, I think.
Oh, does this make does it make Mazes End players?
Oh.
God. Oh, it actually does. It does. I can't. That deck actually might be really good for 3 months.
All right, horrible thoughts. Brain Maggot. How good is the Brain Maggot?
Oh, I don't know. In standard, I don't know.
In standard, it's tough. We've been playing Block Constructed because Ash is going to the Pro Tour playing some Block Constructed. Maggot, it's
really good. Because the removal in that format is still really bad.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Brain Maggot in Limited, but in Limited, it gets a card out of their hand, strips it out of there.
So good.
You don't want to waste a removal spell in their stupid 1/1. Like, if you can incidentally get rid of it somehow,
it's
really difficult to get rid of it, so it's always just getting the card out of their hand. In Standard, I'm not sure, but if Block Constructed anything to go by, Theros doesn't have a heap of good cheap removal. If we don't have good sweepers once Supreme Verdict's gone, Brain Maggot's going to be really good.
Really powerful. And just the fact that you just take their verdict, or you can take their removal spell, which is another pro to that card, I guess.
And you can Thoughtseize and then play Brain Maggot after, or Brain Maggot first and then decide whether to Thoughtseize.
Might be a bit excessive, but you can. If you really want to.
Four, and every black deck.
As well, yes.
I've just drawn my starting hand and I have 3 cards. And I didn't mulligan it. But I didn't mulligan them. But is it like a magnet for bestow and pump cards? Because if you've exiled a card and you've got a 1/1, it's dependent upon that card staying gone.
I think of it as just an enchantment that takes out a card from their hand.
It's got a few weaknesses because it... Well, it's not even weaknesses. It can chump block when you need it to, but it's going to be selective.
That's really bad.
It's bad. Mm. At least you can. You can't do it with an enchantment.
Early game. Late game.
I bestowed Gnarled Scarhide on it to have another 3-power dude on the board in Block Constructed. You can bestow Herald of Torment on
it. No.
Not unheard of.
Another like a bigger downside is also an enchantment creature, so randomly
Deicide,
Revoke Existence. No. Like, it just is quite a bit softer than...
It's a maggot.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
He's
doesn't have good abs.
Yeah.
He doesn't have good abs. Master of the Feast. He's a flying fat guy. Useful. We've talked about him a little bit today.
I'm just not sure.
I'm not sure in standard because you've got so many more cards and so many more efficient answers to it.
Which means that every card that they draw, it's way more likely it's going to be an easy answer to it.
When their format is there trying to draw the guild to kill it, like, it's obviously insane, but like... Yeah.
It's a risky race, isn't it?
Yeah, ultimate prize, Doom Blades, like, they've got so many good removal spells. Mm-hmm. if you don't want to really cast that against like a Supreme Verdict Sphinx's Revelation deck, right? Like, because they just don't care about your random 5/5.
They'll stabilize on 5 and cast a Sphinx's Revelation and you'll still die.
Yeah.
They don't care whether
you're with the thing. And they'll draw extra Sphinxes. Like,
a little bit out of your hands and they aren't necessarily the best magic cards to play. You want to be in control of everything.
But when the removal sucks, that card shines. When they can't be a 3-mana 5/5.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to build an entire deck around Eidolon of Blossoms, or at least of strategy?
Like, this is the thing. This is the watermark for that strategy. Any constellation strategy has to be built around this card. And I'm not sure whether it's good enough. Honestly, I'm not.
I think it's good. Once it gets going...
Ash believes.
Once it gets going,
Blossoms, it's big.
Once it gets going and it goes off, it's very strong in, like, the... It just... Games where it goes longer.
Yeah.
Because you have so many cards. The things I didn't like is it's very bad at being a proactive deck. Because your enchantments aren't particularly... You're not able to really kill them. Yeah. You can't attack through like an
0-3. Yeah, you don't want to be putting aggressive stuff on your Eidolon of Blossoms because it makes them more likely to die.
And it's very soft to enchantment removal because everything has to be an enchantment to maximize that. Yeah. So
it just means they can just bring in 5 cards in their
sideboard. They can bring in both creature removal and 5 enchantment removal, and I feel like that's very soft to that afterwards. Yeah.
So it should be Eidolon of Maggots.
I assume they'll go on the same deck.
It's very soft.
Yeah, well, I have had Eidolon of Blossoms in play, had a Brain Maggot cast against me, they drew a card, a Banishing Light played against me, they drew a card, and I was like, this is basically cheating.
Yeah, it seems like if they're going off, they can be doing stuff like Brain Maggot to disrupt you so you can keep your Eidolon of Blossoms going.
Exactly.
But you're never going to be able to take all the answers.
Of course.
So...
Okay, specific weird one. We're going with the gods we haven't talked about. Athreos, God of Passage. Is this overhyped? Has everyone been talking this up
still,
too much?
It's still commanding a hefty price tag, and there's
people want to believe that it's good. They're like, Athreos. I hate Sphinx, like Supreme Verdict. This is going to be great against it. And they're like,
you're going to lose 3 lives.
Whatever.
So like, in a nutshell, one back. Athreos, God of Passage. It's 1 for a Plains and a Swamp. He's a 5/4 if he gets there. A Mythic Rare, Indestructible. The Devotion is at 7. Thing, but his whenever another creature you own dies, return it to your hand unless target opponent pays 3 life. Is anyone going to pay 3 life? That is kind of just killed it, goes back to your hand.
It depends.
It's one of those punishing mechanics like tribute was, and that you're always going to choose the best thing for you.
Yeah. So you're like, you can have back all your like aggressive shitty ones I don't care about, and I'm going to take your Zathid Necromancer, like whatever card.
Yeah,
like,
I'll pay the 3 life for the thing that matters the most.
Yeah, exactly.
Get back the 2 ones that come.
Exactly. Block. Exactly.
It's a very unique effect.
Yeah.
And I think it's. Keranos is very inherently powerful in that you're going to win the long term if every time you have Keranos out, and Eroas is going to make your attacks really good against.
Eroas is nuts. You read that card, you go, "That's crazy. That's crazy good."
But this one is
Athreos makes you think.
It makes you think, and it's hard to judge. And there have been a few decks that can, I don't think it doesn't go in mono black. Like mono black doesn't want something like this.
No.
White black like Esper Humans, you remember that list?
Yeah, where you Supreme Verdict your own board and it's good or something. I don't know.
They play creatures, you play creatures that are slightly smaller than theirs. You Supreme Verdict. They've got to pay a bunch of life and you get zombies from Zathrid Necromancer.
I think there might be some case to be made with something like the Cartel Aristocrat effects, like high devotion that give you a lot of different angles, sort of like the Aristocrats deck was, where you could attack from multiple angles. Yep. Mm-hmm. And use instant speed sacrifice, which is really powerful as like your base. I don't really know. I'm not particularly good at that. That's what I would be looking at that card to do.
Again, this one sticks out as one that can only get better as they release sets. Because they shied away from the sac outlets and stuff because that was a very Innistrad thing.
Of course.
Now, when the new set comes out, M15 and whatever the...
Huey,
whatever. There's no official name for it yet. This could be one that's insane in the future because it... goes well with the block mechanics, but we don't know. At the moment, it's, overhyped.
And I guess one thing is that in white and black specifically, I've noticed you get a lot of, like, white-black, you have a lot of pips of that color.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, it might be a lot easier to turn on than, say, whatever.
That's probably why, like, you're never turning on
Keranos. No, good luck, right?
Yeah. Like, which could be why he's, or she is weaker in the power and toughness.
Yeah.
Is it 5/4? Yeah, 5/4.
But that's what, like, just thinking about it, you're like, I'm just thinking of white, black, two drops, even. Cartel aristocrat,
precinct captain,
underworld coinsmith.
That's good.
Underworld coinsmith?
I don't know.
It's like a constellation.
But like, all of them are like white, black, and then there's triple black. Yeah. Opposite that is white, black, black. Like, it's.
That almost turns on Atheros by itself. Yeah.
Compared to. Not quite, six.
Almost tense.
Almost.
Yeah.
Like, compared to other colors, that's one that is particularly heavy in the color. So I don't know if that might contribute.
Yeah.
But
which made me very surprised that when they spawned him, he was three mana. Because I was like, whoa.
That's
going to
cool.
come down.
Three mana gods are usually okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Thassa was good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Thassa.
Thassa was good because there were like 50 other cards that you specifically like, made it good.
You can only play these 60
cards. So maybe someone will find 50 other cards that make Aetherios good and it'll
what do they do
stay
with the other
$30.
Cards?
But you get to choose, man. Sometimes it's rapid hybridization.
Sometimes it's Jace.
You got like five cards to choose from, you know.
Oh, sweet. I love standard.
All right, housekeeping. Let's finish off here strong. So you can be able to catch the final of the second qualifier online. This is Talking Super Series, 7landhand.com. It'll be a bit delayed. It's going to be around about a fortnight's time. We've got to do a bit of traveling and then get back, and we'll bang the commentary on there. Yep. Tom was already. Yeah, yep.
Not doing that on Thursday?
We're not doing what on Thursday?
The commentary.
We're doing it soon. Yeah, we'll be doing the commentary.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you'll be there. I'll be there.
I'll be there. We'll both be there.
This week. This Thursday.
I thought it was this Thursday.
Yeah, it's this Thursday.
This is a great conversation to have on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll sort it out. If it's not Thursday.
That's why I stopped myself from saying it. I was like, is that Thursday? Oh, this isn't a conversation. Yeah.
I've seen the future. I suspect you'll be there. Oh, it's in your diary. Well, let's hope. Oh, fingers crossed. Otherwise, we'll just rope someone in. Maybe Tabo will just do.
Tabo
made an appearance in the first video.
He won our first Super Series qualifier.
Yay.
Congratulations. Well
Spoilers
done.
If you haven't seen the video
you.
Yet.
Yeah,
I've seen
shit.
In the video at the end.
Ruined it.
Where he talks about being broken and entered, I believe.
Ah, man.
About how
yes,
another player entered him.
Oh. Yeah, you've been listening to that guy.
I saw it coming and I walked right into it. And
gross. You saw it coming and it went right into him. Okay. Well,
good night.
All of our other videos are on there as well. And well, there'll be more and more videos every month as the Super Series progresses right up to December, where there'll be the big, big, big final.
Oh,
we'll
yeah,
get everyone back
awesome.
Together. All right. And listener feedback. We've got a couple of comments that have been left. One of them was like a real feel-gooder. I'll go with that one first because the other one's a bit...
Lead with the feel-gooder.
Yeah, Justin Edwards. He posted a picture of the podcast and he said, pretty good Monday so far. Seven and then tagged us there with at @7landhand. Actually made me realize people will listen to this.
Surprise.
Expect it to be there.
Oh yeah.
Download it, listen to it on the way to work or something, and they actually enjoy it.
It's part of their routine.
That was a real good feel good.
That makes me feel really good.
Super high five over the interwebs there, Justin. That's great. Woo! Thanks, Justin. Oops. All right, now on to during the week, we posted a picture of a foil sigil starfish just because it's so damn good looking.
Oh, it is. It's handsome.
Yeah, yes. Except I did make a comment saying that one of those arms isn't, you know, an arm. But we've covered that. You know, it's just a really well-hung starfish. And guess who got in touch?
Who?
The Meadax.
Oh, Mr. Meadax?
The Meadax. The Meadax has been online. You want to hear what he said? It's great.
Do I want to
hear this? Oh, yeah, you do.
I'm kind of nervous.
I always want to hear what the Meadax has got to say. He said, this is his words, not mine. I'd suck a mean cock for a foil gold forge sentinel. That's it. That's fine. You know,
what about a nice cock? Would he suck a nice cock?
No. A mean.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy really wants that card. So,
are they all like this?
I've let him know. Yeah, comment section's always like this, Tabo. So I said, next on 7land, Aaron gives away a foil. So, yeah, we've got the card here. We've got the card here, Mr. Meadax. Aaron's got it. He's looking forward to giving it away.
No, don't.
In more ways than one.
No,
he's lost it. Wow. Anyway. Well,
if you have a foil gold forge sentinel,
we know someone who'll It'll reward you for giving it to them.
It'll reward you handsomely.
That's one of the best comments I've seen on any Facebook comment ever.
Fantastic.
And I'm happy he's part of the Seven Land Hand family.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've got to have everyone. We accept everyone. We take all comers. We're like that sign at the bottom of the at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, that, you know, that really well worded sign that says,
whatever it
anyone,
says.
Anyone
yeah.
come. Anyone come.
Come on
in. Come on in.
That's what it says.
Join the Seven Land Hand family. We'll accept people. We embrace people like the meat axe.
Yeah.
We love them.
Even if they like weird foil French vanilla creatures, I don't know. It's crazy.
What kind is that? Sorry, I'm not sure.
It's a 4/4 with flying for 6 colorless mana.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's quite good.
All right.
So Horizon Scholar without Scorn Eye.
Keep your comments coming in. Tell us why we're full of shit. You know, you've had a few card reviews today. You might want to just get online and tell us what was wrong with those.
How awesome they were.
Get the discussion started. Let us know if you want a foil gorge. Foil gorged.
Foil engorged
knob. Jam down your throat. No. If you want a foil gold forged sentinel, we've got a few. And we're willing to give them away.
That's ever mean.
For the right price. Ask Kate Beckinsale to come on the pod with us. I'm looking forward to that day.
Yep.
Ask Marshall from Seven Land Hand. He's also,
you wish.
Yeah.
One day.
He will be. He's hanging out to be. Ask him if he'll send us a What Is Up Seven Land Hand. And we'd love, well, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Soundbite awesome. Just to play, wouldn't it? So here's Marshall with a What Is Up Seven Land Hand. Yeah.
Could get Ben Stark, Limited Mastermind.
Oh, yeah.
I heard he's been kicking around Perth lately.
Yeah.
We need a few celebs on here. We'll have to invite a few people on, the celebs, all our celeb friends. We'll get them on.
All of them.
We'll have them all on.
Yeah.
That was Darren that dropped that pen. We'll keep in score.
Always. It's 1-1 today, David.
If you read out any of your great questions, you will receive a Hyper Magic Nerd Badge. And have we got one to bestow upon Tabo?
Tabo, thank you very much for coming on the show today. Hyper Magic Nerd Badge for you.
Yeah, wear it always. If you see people, it's like being part of Fight Club. You high five, you wink knowingly, walk away.
Next time I'm in the club,
don't let the general knowledge
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Don't let the public know anything about what's going on, all right? Yeah, you're part of the collective
but
now.
But do.
Yeah, definitely.
Spread the word. Get them to listen to the podcast. Because that's what we're all about. Spreading the word. Brought to you by Seven Good Games St. James. Good Games St. James brought to you by Seven Land Hand.
Limited resources. Sponsored by, oh God.
The Rampaging Beaver Network. All right, so next fortnight we'll be back and we'll be talking Pandemic with now our Everstay expert on the theme, on the thematic Seven Land Hands, Mr. Matt McKay.
Oh, yes.
He's going to be here every time.
I'm very glad for that.
You see us, Seven Land Hand, doing a theme show, Matt's going to be there. He'll be here because we've realized he's got knowledge.
Yeah.
He's got, and facts.
And he's got a stern hand.
Which
and
we need.
And he directs us back on track when we talk about
which is the real reason why we've got him on.
I've got this great scrotum anecdote.
Yeah. Shut up. We're talking about Pandemic. Shut up.
Anyway, the players in... can't talk about scrotes anymore.
So, no, if you're after the dirty blue talk, none of that on the theme show from now on. Matt will be keeping us in line. But, we've asked for it. People have been listening and asked for actual content.
You guys need more direction. Thank you to Dr. David, as always.
Thank you for being a gracious host. First time guest. Thank you for being here.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That warm glow that Justin started has continued
spreading
to throb
throughout my body.
It's engorged.
Like the dick taste of Helion.
Yeah, I'll be the last one to stand up and leave the table.
Oh, it's nasty. I've got a bit of an awards ceremony for Jenny and to Nick's here. I've got my awards for the set. The card that looks most like two people shoving.
Where's this going to go?
So the award for card that looks the most like two dudes shoving another dude into a golden ox which is on fire.
Wow.
Deserter's Quarters.
Jumping to your Fat Pack books as we speak.
Jumping into your Fat Pack books.
What colour is that card?
It's an artifact at the back there.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Deserter's Quarters. You win the coveted award of card that looks most like two dudes shoving another dude into a gold-plated ox that is on fire.
That's actually just what it is, right?
That's what I'm missing.
Wow.
I'll have to wait. Card with a subtle love heart in it. Nick's Weaver.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to say something.
Got a little love heart on his back.
Cute.
That's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Card with an inconspicuous squirrel in its artwork. Ajani. Look past the text box of Ajani. There's a little squirrel.
Yeah,
on the floor, hanging out by his feet. Award for weirdest art goes to it's a tie. Yeah. This is a bit weird. Between Spiteful Blow and Cruel Feeding.
Spiteful Blow with a massive gold fist.
Both
Spiteful Blow.
Spiteful Blow looks like a thong. A thonged butt.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Dancing in a group of like dead people.
Yeah, upside down.
Okay. Upside down. Yeah, thumb
I'm
butt.
Sold. What was the other one? That was
the other one is Cruel Feeding, which is a bunch of people going with like leech
so
hands.
Cruel.
look how cruel our feeding is.
Yeah.
Biggest flavor screw up award goes to King Midas because when he untaps, you don't have to turn something into gold. You may turn something into gold. That's not the curse of King Midas.
My biggest one is the pin to the earth. Just it still can fly.
It can still fly.
Spear to the ground brutally, but you know.
That should be King Makar, the gold undecided.
The gold
maybe.
The gold when it suits me.
Yeah.
That's a fucking awesome thing. Yeah. You're not cursed with that.
Yeah.
The award for second biggest flavor screw up is extinguish all hope. destroy all enchantment creatures.
Non-enchantment creatures.
Doesn't kill hopeful Eidolon. Extinguish all hope apart from that little bit of hope over there that's giving the thing life.
Says hope in the title.
And the winner of card that looks the most like Denise Richards Aspect of Gorgon.
Aspect of Gorgon.
Goodbye.
General anecdote, which I thought if we had like a laid back podcast, I was definitely tell a story on the podcast. It was when I was at McDonald's, I was picking up something. I was in the drive through.
Yeah.
You know how it's two lanes like that?
Yeah.
There was a guy, I was already there, and this guy came heaving in and did his thing and went, oh, no, and I was ahead of him, right? So I thought, oh, in order of how they've got it, I will be ahead of him. But I went to go and he just cut me off. And I thought,
in the drive
I thought, yeah, whatever. Well, I thought, that's going to be weird. So anyway, I got behind him and he did his thing at the teller and then left like about a meter and a half between him and the car in front. And so instead of pulling right the way forwards, and I could pull up next to the cashier. We're kind of about this far away from each other, right? We're just looking at each other going, we could do the shit if that dickhead just moved forward.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there going, man, you know, what a guy. Who gives a shit? I'm not getting wound up in the frigging drive-thru, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm staring at the back of his car, and he's got baby on board. I'm thinking, great, he's one of them dickheads, you know? So I'm looking at the back seat just going, is there a car seat there? And I thought, I wonder if the baby's the driver.
That would explain everything.
Yeah,
wow. I've only just learned to drive. It's because I'm 6 months old.